brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up.
We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Alex Jones here live with you today on this Friday edition. There's Bill Hicks, my good buddy Kevin Booth produced and started off in comedian line. And it makes a lot of sense what Bill Hicks was saying. The problem is that not caring about things is the mirror image, but from a good perspective, of what the New World Order is doing. Do as thou wilt. They say it's just a ride, and it doesn't matter. So why shouldn't I rape and kill and steal and starve and backstab and cheat? Why shouldn't I do whatever I want? And then you've got the other side. The really evil people that say, yeah, it's just a ride. And you've got the good people like Bill Hicks, but who have limited perspective. And so from there, giving, loving, genuine perspective, and that's how Bill Hicks really was in personal life, then you see the world from your own view, not understanding that good people have to have power just to protect themselves from the evil, and that evil always combines forces and then moves against the good. Sounded great what Bill was saying about take all the money we have for defense and give it to the poor. The problem is there's going to be bureaucrats, there's going to be corporations, there's going to be elites who sell the general public, the middle class, who has some of the wealth, not for long, most of it's already been transferred to the elite, in the name of helping the poor. And then the elite only uses that money to control and dumb down and isolate and break up the families of the poor and then carry out eugenics operations against them. As the Royal Commission on Population stated, put out in 1949 by the British government, as State Department Memorandum 200 stated, put out in 73. So see, they take our good intentions and sell us on evil. So we have to be three-dimensional. We have to play chess, not checkers. PrisonPlanet.com has some incredible news stories up on them today. So does InfoWars. We'll tell you about those when we get back. And four huge guests.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Luke Radowski has been in Denver for the DNC. He's also gotten reports from We Are Change at the RNC that closed out last night. Luke Radowski, founder of We Are Change, will be joining us in T-minus 51 minutes. We've got Dr. Stan Monteith in the third hour, part two of a eugenics discussion, the overarching global elite and what drives the builders of world government. Why do they want world government? What is their driving ideology, their philosophy? Dr. Stan Monteith, medical doctor, expert on the chemical and bioweapons they're putting in the vaccines, the air, the water. He will be joining us coming up in about 2 hours. Then for a full hour, Mark Stepnoski. He was on this show and went public for 9/11 Truth, I don't know, I guess about a year ago. And he will be joining us to talk about the growth of 9/11 Truth and how it's becoming mainstream that government sponsors terror. There's more and more mainstream news articles about past instances, the declassified examples of government staging terror attacks to turn their countries into police states and or generally together to launch attacks on neighbors or to expand empire. So that is coming up today. Luke Radowski, Stan Monteith, and Mark Stepnoski. That is all coming up. Former Dallas Cowboy Mark Stepnoski, the lineman, exposing 9/11 as an inside job. That will be coming up. We have a lot of important news on the economy front, on the economics front. We also have a lot of new developments between the U.S., NATO, and Russia. There's also interesting corruption news like this out of the London Independent. Cheney colleague admits bribery in Halliburton oil deals. So just wall-to-wall corruption right out in the open, nothing being done about that. You see, it isn't just that we have corrupt leaders. We've been trained by Bill Clinton and George Bush and others to just accept corruption. Oh, they all steal, and yeah, there's trillions missing from the Pentagon. The trust funds have been liquidated, but so what? What are you, some kind of dirty hippie? Trillions missing's no big deal. The Democrats defend their corrupt party. The Republicans defend their corrupt party because they're too busy fighting with each other. Well, I'm fighting with the Republicans, so it doesn't matter how bad my party is. Well, I'm fighting with the evil liberals. We can't let them take over. So we got to back up any corruption our party's involved in. And then both parties are owned by the same corporate interest, and they control the entire paradigm, and the general public is locked out of any decision-making process. And the corrupt, as they've done throughout history, become megalomaniacal and drunk with power and start becoming self-destructive. That is always the byproduct of unlimited, unbridled imperial hubris, is self-destructive tendencies. Here's some of the big news. This is from Peter Del Scott. It's up on Infowars.com. Bush extends 9/11 national emergency yet again from Global Research. That's right. We were put under martial law. Each year he has to reauthorize the martial law. We are under continuity of government, under Cheyenne Mountain's control. And it openly states that Congress is a marionette. Not even a marionette. Congress is vestigial. You know, a dog halfway up their leg has another claw. And I guess they say that in previous incarnations of canine, what is canine familiarist today, that claw was down on the foot. Regardless, it has no use. It is vestigial. Just like horses have a vestigial pad on their elbow as well. Vestigial. The Congress is vestigial. And I mean that in every sense of the word. We will not get the Congress back until the shadow government has been exposed. Minnesota prosecution of activists leads way to characterize dissent as terrorism. They've charged them under the Minnesota Patriot Act of wanton riot under a terrorism act. They're facing felonies. Two anchors of Free Speech TV, Democracy Now! Were also charged under the felony terrorism charge on video for covering the event. They just randomly arrested people But this is in a separate event. They're charging $8. So I thought I'd play a few minutes of this. You see, just Google Patriot Act used in non-terror related cases, or locals use Patriot Act. And you'll see stuff from 2003, 2004, 2005, just a few years after it, with headlines like, Alabama's used it more than 1,000 times, or Ohio's used it more than 100,000 times. And go back, read it for yourself. Texas uses the Patriot Act hundreds of thousands of times. No judge, no jury, no nothing. No due process. It's happening all around you, ladies and gentlemen. The government is rogue. It's criminal. They're looting everything. The last official act, as Mike Rivera likes to say, of a criminal government is to loot everything. They are looting it all and leaving a vanguard police state behind to protect their retreat to Europe and to the Bahamas and to their luxury private islands with black water protection services and Pinkerton. I'm not kidding. This is a mass raping. And police, you better figure out you're being used and brainwashed and federalized and turned against us. I don't want a violent revolution, but you're making one inevitable. And I will be crushed in that. You will be crushed in that. Anyone with power will be attacked in the type of thing that's coming, which is also going to be engineered by the bankers. After they're done leaving the U.S., they're going to set up a communist-style takeover. They're not going to call it that. They're going to kill probably 100 million people in this country. If we watch, and I'm not joking around about that. If you figure that out, I don't say that for effect. Okay, anybody with more than a two-bedroom house is going to be in deep trouble. This is going to be hellish with Latin America turned loose on the United States. All right, let's go ahead and play part of Amy Goodman. This is an incredible development.
Ramsey County prosecutors have formally charged 8 members of a prominent activist group with conspiracy to riot and furtherance of terrorism. The 8 members of the RNC welcoming committee are believed to be the first persons ever charged under the 2002 Minnesota version of the Federal Patriot Act. The activists face up to 7.5 years in prison. Ramsey County attorney Susan Gertner announced the charges at a news conference Wednesday.
Through this week, I've seen much about my great city to celebrate, but it also in some ways has been a sad and painful time for my community. We have watched as a few lawless people tried to overshadow the peaceful protests and the exercise of free speech rights by thousands of law-abiding citizens. Some of the people who allegedly planned illegal acts to disrupt the convention and our community were thwarted last week when law enforcement agencies executed warrants and made arrests at several locations. Today, my office has charged 8 persons with the felony crime of conspiracy to commit riot in the second degree for their alleged criminal activities as members of the RNC welcoming committee. All but one of those persons are currently in custody.
According to the National Lawyers Guild, the criminal complaints filed by the Ramsey County attorney do not allege that any of the defendants personally engaged in any act of violence or damage to property. Instead, authorities are seeking to hold the 8 defendants responsible for acts committed by other individuals during the opening days of the Republican National Convention. Most of the activists were arrested over the weekend in preemptive house raids. None of the defendants have any prior criminal history involving acts of violence. Authorities are basing their case on paid informants who infiltrated the group. The 8 activists charged are Monica Bicking, Aaron Trimmer, Luce Gielen, Givens, Eric Osland, Nathaniel Secor, Robert Chernick, Garrett Fitzgerald, and Max Spector. Ramsey County Sheriff Bob Fletcher explained the terrorism charges.
It allowed us to execute search warrants last Saturday, as you know, on the leadership of the welcoming committee, and frankly, severing that leadership and the organization skills from that entire process was huge, because a lot of these anarchist groups that came here were supposed to be dedicated to different intersections, different sectors of the city, and by taking those maps away, really made it harder for them to coordinate their assault on our city. We only removed 10% of the problem, but the 10% we removed was the coordinating aspect of it.
Two guests join me here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bruce Nestor is president of the Minnesota chapter of National Lawyers Guild, and David Bicking is the father of Monica Bicking. trafficking, one of the eight activists charged with conspiracy to riot and furtherance of terrorism. David Bicking lives in Minneapolis. Welcome both here to our studios at St. Paul Neighborhood Network, SPNN Public Access. Well, why don't we start with you, Bruce Nestor. Explain the significance of these charges.
These charges are very significant for any political activist or anybody that cares about the right to organize politically or for freedom of speech. By equating plans or stated plans to blockade traffic and to try to disrupt the convention with acts of terrorism, in the conspiracy nature of the charge, where you punish people for what they say or advocate but not for what they do, really creates a possibility that anybody organizing a large-scale demonstration at which civil disobedience may be a part of it, or where other individuals may then engage in some type of property damage, creates the potential that all those organizers can be charged.
That's right. Let's stop right there.
Charges and face.
And then police provocateurs or hirelings, they tump over a few trash cans, break a few things, they run off under police protection, which they've been caught doing, and then the whole organization goes to prison. Now remember, 4 years ago, Senator Menas, no pun intended, in Oregon, with that bill that almost passed, saying any protest that blocks traffic, life in a forced labor camp. Kurt Nima did a story about the activism being terrorism last night, but we need to add to that, or Paul or Steve or one of my other writers. Kurt's doing an update design on Prison Planet right now. We need to add that to this and show. This is something they tried to pass this also 3 years ago in Rhode Island. Remember, protesting would send you to life in prison is treason. So that's basically what's being set up here. Also, incredible news story from Paul Watson. Chemtrails are admitted. The government's come right out and admitted they are spraying the skies with deadly poison. So we'll cover that when we get back.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
About 6 months ago, listeners started calling in saying, have you seen this university study? Have you seen that university study? Have you seen these different terms like high altitude, aerosol spraying, weather modification programs? And we would Google those terms and come up with hundreds of thousands of hits. And the Department of Energy and the Department of Labor and the Department of Agriculture and the Pentagon, DARPA, MIT, Stanford Research Institute, foreign universities, European Union, NATO, all admitting that in the last 6-7 years, they're doing huge aerial spraying tests by mixing particulates into the jet fuel, and they brag about how it then disperses it through the jet engines and how the Nobel Prize winner came up with this plan in the early 90s. And that's when it started, in the mid-90s. Suddenly, trails would form in a few thousand feet. They'd form in the summer. They'd stay there for hours. And I remember right when it started, before anybody was even covering it, they would have people in the media make fun of crazies that believe planes are spraying. And I saw a Dish TV, or heard a Dish TV radio ad that aired in 96, right when all this started in North America, that would say, oh, yeah, they believe in black helicopters and jets are spraying the skies and Martians are washing cars on the moon. You see, they put it out that it was crazy and that you didn't talk about it right as they started it. And then suddenly there were black helicopter, martial law, continuity of government drills everywhere. All of this stuff was happening. But if you covered it, they went, oh, you're that crazy person. And I'd say, no. It's in the Houston Chronicle that Delta Force crashed downtown. It's in the Miami Herald. They shot into an all-night restaurant. They tried to bribe this police chief. I went and interviewed him in San Antonio and all these other towns, and foreign troops were there. I have the police chief and Alice admitting it. I have video of it. And they'd say, doesn't exist. Isn't real. You're crazy. So I really didn't cover chemtrails a lot until about 2000, and then it just got too obvious. And people are like, why aren't you covering it? So I started doing real research and having real researchers on. I've been pretty conservative in my approach, folks. We're pretty careful about what we cover here. No matter how nuts it sounds, it's all documented. And then I found out, I really started researching about 97, but I went public more and more in 99, 2000. Jim Keith's books, you know, I would see the newspapers he sourced. I would go actually get them online or go to the library where they had done university studies that they were spraying weird white blood cells with no nuclei, barium salts, sulfur dioxide. Helicopters were doing it low level. Larger jets were doing it high up. There was different programs going on, weather modification, biological testing. And I knew they'd done this thousands of times before. It's just not with a huge global program. And then NASA admitted in BBC, 4 years ago, the Earth is now 20% darker. It showed the satellite photos over North America, Europe, Australia, where it was nothing but spiderweb lines blotting out the sun. And there was this huge concerted program that anytime you'd mention it, you'd be attacked. Suddenly you'd be attacked everywhere by blogs and websites, and we'd get threats about it, and we'd be called kooks. Well, that's because they didn't want us talking about it. It's real, it's going on, and Paul Watson has only taken open public material. I think the headline should read, Secret Government Program Spraying Poisonous Chemicals into Atmosphere Exposed, Chemtrails Real, or something like that. Or shocker, Chemtrails Declassified, Government is Spraying Public. I mean, this is a shocker. We need to try to get people's attention. This is actually a toned-down headline. Secret geoengineering projects threaten unknown environmental dangers. But then Paul List, where they admit it's deadly poison to humans and causes environmental problems. I mean, it's admitted. See, we get accused of fear-mongering. My riders actually water things down. I'm not mad at them. It's just, this is when you read this, it's all links to the government and mainstream media admitting they're terraforming the planet right now, that what they're spraying, only one of the chemicals of hundreds they admit, causes neurological effects and behavioral changes, disturbances of blood circulation, heart damage, effects on the eyes and eyesight, reproductive failure, damage to immune system, stomach and gastrointestinal disorder, damage to liver and kidney functions, hearing defects, disturbances of the hormonal metabolic system, skin problems, suffocation, and lung embolism. And it just goes through all the mainstream sites, mainstream government. There's a huge program spraying us. You see, there are tens of thousands of academic books, publications, white papers admitting there's a world government, that a few private families own the planet. They are eugenicists. They are exterminating us with cancer viruses and mercury in the vaccines, GMO foods that they know kill every rat and guinea pig that it's fed to. New amino acids, new chemicals that have never existed are in the food. And then the headline up on Infowars.com is U.S. government mad scientist geoengineer atmosphere needs to have the subheadline with poisonous chemicals. It's admitted. But see, just like the academics come out and admit world government, and then on the nightly news they say it doesn't exist. It's an open joke that it's in every major university admits they're spraying us, geoengineering since 1996. They've suddenly started admitting this in the last few years, and even I'm so blind that I didn't even do stories on it or cover it. Hidden in plain view. They are engaged in a cocktail of operations. Chemical, biological warfare against the people, geoengineering, weather wars. The list goes on and on. It is a cocktail of black op operations. HARP, sun deflection, bioattack, weather wars. They are playing God with our skies. This is war. They truly think they are in total control of us, and all we can do is look up and get mad at the madness. That's what one of the people at the PrisonPlanet.com comment section of the story said. They've been doing this for about 8 years now. They've actually been doing it since 96. Right after this guy got the Nobel Prize for it, a few years later they launched the program. And it's all in the article. They admit it. Just like it's admitted there's a North American Union, just like it's admitted they're setting up a world government, it's all academic, and then on the nightly news they say none of it exists. They think the public are complete idiots. They're playing God. It's the shadow government. I'm going to cover this after our next guest leaves us in detail. I'm going to read this article by Paul Watson that is so important. It is admitted they are chemtrailing us. But I want to go to Steve Schenck for the rest of the segment, eFoodsDirect.com, the J. Michael Stevens Group, because this is where I've chosen to get my storable, non-GMO, high-quality food at a fraction of the price of grocery store cost. Food has gone up, depending on which staple. Some of it's doubled, but on average 30-something percent in the last year. And the economy, I've got a stack of economic news here in front of me. New York Times, economy stays stuck as commercials and consumers cut back. Jobless rate jumps to five-year high. Banks borrow more from Fed. U.S. mortgage foreclosures, delinquencies reach record highs. Bloomberg, Cheney slams Russia over war against Georgia. The U.S. backed Georgia attack them. I mean, this is the false reality we're living in. I've got a Washington Times article admitting that Israel basically ran the attacks, and the Washington Times is proud of it, against South Ossetia. I mean, the point is, it's getting crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I just know you're nuts if you don't have some storable food, and we've gone out and found the best place to get it. Steve Schenck, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, it's good to be with you again, Alex. Things are getting really, really nuts, aren't they?
Yeah, but the mainstream media on the nightly news, you know, you can find it in the news wires what's happening, but the nightly news, they say things have turned around. The only bad thing in the world is the Russian sneak attack on Georgia. Not true. I mean, it's just reached a la-la land level.
Well, have you noticed the tremendous amount of concern that our candidates are showing for the fact that there's a worldwide famine and some Americans can't even afford to buy food now?
No, they don't even talk about the economy. None of it. It's all about who will keep you safe from Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And you know, we're pinching the nose of paper tigers all over the place, and you know, we're gagging at gnats and swallowing camels. It's absolutely insane. This is, Alex, this is the most dangerous time for our people right now, and let me tell you why. What's happening is, yes, there are food shortages, and they're very, very severe. You know, you read articles all the time about how are they going to feed China. India just had lost its rice crop again through flooding and that type of thing. The biggest nations in the world population-wise. But the reason I say it's the most dangerous time is because our people go out there, Alex, to the grocery store, and they see the shelves full. Let me tell you what's happening. Walmart announced just this last, well, they didn't officially announce it, but we found out that they have a three-page list of all of the items, all the grocery items that they used to handle that they no longer can get. But why is it that our people go into the grocery store and they say, well, gee whiz, the shelves are all full. It's just going up in price, going up in price, going up in price. The reason the shelves are still full is because when they can't get an item, they fill it in with the items that they can get. And this creates the facade of the fact that there's plenty of food. The other thing that's happening is our people are dealing with the food prices going up, just like they dealt with the mortgage crisis. They keep hanging onto that house and paying out and paying out, and pretty soon they're using their credit cards to pay their house payments. And by the time that they get to the point where they can no longer afford it, they've lost all the ability to choose, all the flexibility that they had if they'd have gotten out of that stinking house way early, gotten a rental that they could afford, and letting it go down. What's happening with food is that people are continuing to pay higher and higher and higher prices. And every single week, Alex, we have thousands of families that are dropping off the screen because they no longer can afford the groceries that are going up and up and will continue to go up.
Well,
the families
There's something else to this. Clear Channel Radio was well known for coming into a small town. There'd be two local stations. For a year or two, Clear Channel would sell ads for $1 a spot when they should have been $20, $30 a spot. Then that bankrupts the other two stations. Then they go to $100 a spot, three or four times what it should cost in that small town. And it's the same thing. Walmart has kept prices the same. They admittedly are running at a loss to bring people in to further destroy their competition. This is about monopolies. This is savage. It's not free market.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is that the problem, all of this smoke and mirrors stuff that's going on right now, Alex, is creating the impression that the only thing that's changing for our people is the prices are going up. And gee whiz, that might come to an end sooner or later, because now they've told us that even though we lost 5 million acres in the middle of the country, that we're going to have a bumper crop this year. Well, if you believe that, I got a lot of bridges to sell you in a lot of places. The fact is that all of the apparency of prosperity is sitting there, and it's draining our people. And unless folks understand that they have to do what the speculators are doing, you got to understand the reason those prices are going up is not the gas issue. It's the speculation where investors are able to buy your food, and they're investing in what you've got to have. They are creating a monopoly over the food, and it might be wise if the speculators and investors are investing in our food and in our future to make a huge profit. We might want to take a cue from them and say, maybe I better invest in my own future and go buy some food and put
Steve, you always get into this speculation and how the prices are going up. You said this a year ago. We started interviewing you on air. I've known you for years, and what you've said has turned out to be true. Regardless, let's say there's a 10% chance that food's going to double in price again. Let's say there's a 10% chance we're going to have some limited war with Russia or Iran. Let's say there's a 10% chance we're going to have more inflation. Well, that's guaranteed. We're having it. Record inflation, and it's only intensifying, and all the economists we have on say it's going to intensify for the next 3 years, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Let's just say, though, it's not guaranteed. Let's say there's a moderate chance. You know, I bought storable food from you 7 years ago, and I've still got it, and it's great. But I bought even more, and then I bought family that didn't have enough money, a year's supply, because that's what I do. You know, that's what's important to me is protect my family. And I'm going to try to buy some more food from you because I know we're going into dangerous waters. Who can't say we aren't? Definitely in the next 10 years. I mean, regardless, the way inflation's working, this you can eat this stuff in 5 years or in a year and save a ton of money just in what the price of food is doing. In fact, you've got all those actual numbers. I see different ones. I see wheat doubling, things like that happening. Overall, they talk about 25-30% in overall food prices in the last year. Steve, what numbers do you have on inflation?
Well, the numbers that we have on inflation are actually false numbers. The fact is that we expect a doubling in those prices. Now, what we've experienced is the cost of the food that's being packed into the cans for the families has gone up so fast in the last 3 months that we're doing everything we can to avoid a price increase. It's not going
to. I'm not talking about you and what you're selling high quality storable dehydrated foods for. What I'm saying is that we see a gallon of milk go from literally $1 to $5 at the store, $4.
Absolutely.
We see eggs go from 50 cents to $3. We see, every major staple going way up. We hear about in commodities, wheat doubling. I mean, that's what I'm asking. I understand the Fed says inflation's at 6%, and every economist says it's at 12 to 15. But and that's overall inflation, cost of living. I'm asking you about, what, as a bulk buyer, what it's really doing.
Okay, if we make it to middle November without families having to pay twice as much for meat and dairy products and the produced food that's dependent on the corn crop to survive, if we make it to mid-November without those items doubling, I will be extremely surprised. Now, that's what's happening at the supply end of the food chain.
But, Steve, my question is, and I understand that, my question is, because you're an expert on this, what are you seeing on the ground? How much have your food cost increased in the last 12 months, yourself, in previous purchases?
It's doubled. All of the stuff in the last 12 months. And also, there are items that we cannot get. I mean, you can double it all you want to, but if there's no food there, it doesn't make any difference.
And what is it you can't get right now? I'm just curious.
Well, one of the things that we're dealing with is some of the dairy products, but mostly the dried fruits and vegetables and things like that are becoming extremely difficult and extremely expensive. And the costs are going up to the point where even at half of last year's grocery prices, which is what people can put in their food now, it's not going to happen. Like I say, by mid-November, if we're still able to put out units of food that people can even afford, it'll be amazing.
Well, I don't know how you did it, but five or six months ago, you said gold's going to stabilize for a while, and they said go up in the, later, and you said oil's going to go down, but food's going to explode. You were right about that. How did you know that, Steve?
Well, just because what we're watching is actually what's happening with the speculation, and what we're watching is we know what suppliers are saying to us. The farmers did not plant this last year, and we also know what our buyers are dealing with. That is not affected by the gas prices. All the gas price thing was pure speculation.
And dollar devaluation. But yeah, the top 20% of it was speculation. That's why it's gone down 20%, and it'll
but
go
the
up.
The food thing is real. It's
no, I understand.
Real shortage.
So you're saying the speculators like locusts move from sector to sector of commodities, but now it's not just the speculators. You're saying it's a real cocktail or perfect storm.
Absolutely.
Okay, when
China's going around buying up everything they get their hands on, India's going around buying up everything they got their hands on, our government is trying to control those countries with food that they don't have. They're using our food to try and manipulate the Indians and the Chinese, and the Indians and Chinese just broke off negotiations on that last week.
Yeah, that's like the old Soviet Union when we tried to control them with the grain because their communist system couldn't produce it. Now we're becoming that. Steve, we only got about 4 minutes left. I want to tell people about the free audio CD you've got, the brochure, but I think people shouldn't wait. You really are the lowest price for the highest quality. When I did research 7-8 years ago, I went with you. I've gotten food from you 4 times now. I've been so busy, I need to get a call in. I'm like everybody else to get some more food because I gave even more to family. But I do believe in this, folks. I think this makes you where you're not dependent in a martial law situation, in a war situation, where you don't have to go to the New Orleans-style Superdome to be controlled. It's so important to have some storable food, even if you're a single, and you get a 2-month boogie pack with a little stove he's got and a little system to heat it and hundreds and hundreds of meals and 2 little boxes that fits in your trunk. I mean, you cannot beat that. Just start. Get involved. I believe in it. It's also a great sponsor, so it's all a symbiotic situation. Tell them about the website. Tell them about the telephone number and about some of the packages, Steve.
Okay, sounds good. Get up on efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com. There are a whole bunch of articles and information there, but you can see the various units of food, the 1-year supplies, and also the 2-month grab-and-go kit. The fact is, Alex, we don't know how long we're going to be able to put this out at this pricing or the availability. So the main thing that people have to do is if they're planning to move on it now, because at this point they can buy their food at half the cost of last year's groceries. This is not happening anyplace else.
Because you bought in such mass, back in December?
Oh, yeah. We actually bought a lot during the early spring because we were telling you and your listeners that this was coming, and we did exactly the same thing we're telling people to do. The warehouses bought ahead while they could afford it, and that's the only reason that these folks are able to get the pricing the way it is right now.
Yeah, you really do have great pricing. You know, we could take a lot of other storable foods company sponsors. We've been approached by them. And I look at the prices, the quality, and we've decided to go go with you, Steve, because we really do care about our listeners and want to give them the best deal we can. And bottom line, folks, bottom line, you can get this, put it away for 10 years, 10 plus in climate control, 10 years in your attic or garage, and not worry about it anymore. I mean, this is really a way to take control of your life. It's a philosophy. Give them the toll-free number, Steve.
It's 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, and we'll get you out some packets like Alex was saying, with some CDs, some seminars, and get yourself up to speed and get some food, and we'll help you do it.
1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633. It's a hedge against inflation. It's a real insurance policy, 800-409-5633, or efoodsdirect.com. Huge banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. That number again, 800-409-5633. Steve Shank, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the update.
Hey, take care, Alex.
You bet, sir. Here's the number again, 800-409-5633. Don't procrastinate. This is a no-brainer, efoodsdirect.com. We'll come back and talk about chemtrails. It's a very important story already going viral on the web. U.S. government mad scientist, geoengineer, atmosphere, up on PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. U.S. government scientists are bombarding the skies with acid rain causing pollutant sulfur dioxide in an attempt to fight global warming by geoengineering the planet, despite the fact that injecting aerosols in the upper atmosphere carry with it a host of both known and unknown dangers. Now, getting hundreds of universities, government agencies, foreign countries involved in this, and it's all admitted. For 6 months, we've been covering this. Paul's now doing some stories on it. This allows them to induct all the different research bodies at major universities into black ops, into saving the earth, into the secretness of it. Now they're introducing it. High school textbooks admit 2 years ago that they're spraying the sky to keep us safe from global warming, calling it sunscreen. All these university textbooks admit it. But you go to the mainstream media and they just go, oh, you're one of the nuts. Kind of like you hold up university documents and government documents that have been gotten through lawsuits and FOIA requests about the North American Union, calling it that, saying it's secret. They just laugh and say, that doesn't exist. You see, it's the childlikeness of the public. And the public, it's more than that. It's they've been conned and lied to so much, they don't want to admit they've been lied to. They don't want to admit they've been conned and scammed and taken to the cleaners. They don't want to come to grips with this. And so they're going to deny. It's like that Bayer Pharmaceutical knowingly pudding. They knew the blood was all contaminated, millions and millions of dosages of it. They knew every pint they'd taken was contaminated. They mixed it all together, made Factor VIII. They knew it had hepatitis A, B, and C in it. They knew it was a death sentence for millions that took it. Oh, yeah, hundreds of thousands have died. Hundreds of thousands of others are ill. The hemophiliacs had sex with their wives and husbands and gave it to them. Women who were hemophiliacs that didn't know got pregnant. Their babies got it. And I talk about that, and people just laugh at me and send me threatening emails. Hey, you little bastards. It's MSNBC. It's Associated Press. I heard some talk show yesterday reporting on it going, I don't know if Alex is right about this story. You know, who knows if Papantonio and MSNBC is telling the truth. They were indicted and arrested in France. It's all admitted. It came out in the criminal hearings in France where they did the right thing and arrested Bayer pharmaceutical executives in that country. It's admitted. It's all come out in court. So that's the bottom line. It's just like this. I mean, Paul has all these links to universities, government reports. They admit they're spraying the atmosphere. They admit of the one of the hundreds of things, the chemicals they're spraying, one of them is deadly poison. You can give people university, government documents. There's literally thousands of university web pages, Department of Energy web pages, Department of Defense admitting it. They are adding it to the jet fuel. People say, oh, what, is an American Airlines pilot part of it? No, you just controlled the five or six bulk jet fuel companies. You go, wait, there's hundreds of companies. Hundreds of companies that buy from the five or six makers of the jet fuel kerosene mix. That's what jet fuel is, a type of kerosene. And they add this crap right in there, and that was in the Nobel Prize winner's plan. The elite said, ooh, we like that plan, because they love playing God. And folks, that's only one part. The weather manipulation, as we always told you, is only one component. Then there's a chemical, biological, radiological component. So see, the university people involved in all this, they think it's geoengineering. That's not what it's really for. It attacks reproductive systems.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Luke Radowski for about 20 minutes, founder of We Are Change, will be popping in to give us his overview of what happened in Denver. Also in Minneapolis, St. Paul with the RNC. And with what's coming up with the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 false flag terror attacks. I'm going to cover at the bottom of the hour with Aaron Dykes more on eugenics, the overarching propulsion system, the driving ideology of the New World Order in 30 minutes. And I'm going to get more into the story. U.S. government mad scientist geoengineer atmosphere. Headline on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We want this to go mega viral. Right out in plain view, because we've made such a stink over chemtrails, they're going, okay, we're spraying you. It's for your own good. Kind of like, yeah, we want a North American Union, and then we made a big deal out of it, and they said, we never said that, or okay, we're pulling that back. They never pull it back. Let me explain to the police, bureaucrats, everybody. They're spraying your family with sulfur dioxide, with barium salts, with glass crystals. God, you know what that does to your lungs? U.S. government scientists are bombarding the skies with acid rain causing pollutant sulfur dioxide in an attempt to fight global warming by geoengineering the planet, despite the fact that injecting aerosols in the upper atmosphere carries with it a host of both known and unknown dangers. Now remember, it's all academically admitted. And they literally laugh and say, but the cattle will tell them it doesn't exist. They're so stupid. The proposal to disperse sulfur dioxide in an attempt to reflect sunlight was again raised in London Guardian article this last week entitled Geoengineering the Radical Ideas to Combat Global Warming. See, they're introducing it now to the slaves. In public articles, they're proposing it. In government documents, they've been doing it since 96. See how that always, kind of like they tell you, oh, we might have a national ID card. We've had one since 1993 under federal law. By 2000, we had a world ID standardized under UN treaty. But we're just now in 2008 talking about the real ID, national ID. 12, 13 years later. Geoengineering the radical ideas to combat global warming, in which Ken Caldera, again, this is just saying it's all real, even though the Earth's cooling, a leading climate scientist based at Carnegie Institute in Stanford, California. See, the Carnegie's, it runs the whole thing. It's the master think tank over Rockefeller, over IBM, over all of it. Promotes the idea of injecting the atmosphere with aerosols. One approach is to insert scatterers into the stratosphere, states the article. Caldera cites an idea to deploy jumbo jets into the upper atmosphere and deposit clouds of tiny particles there, such as sulfur dioxide dispersing around 1 ton of sulfur dioxide per year, 1 million tons of it a year, across 10 million square kilometers of the atmosphere, which will be enough to reflect away significant amounts of sunlight. Now, Paul did a good job, but he, at the end of the article, he then points you to where they admit they're already doing it. I need a hardcore article by Steve or Kurt or somebody, I'm not knocking Paul, that just out of the gate says they're doing it, it's admitted in plain view. The average person will read this and just think it's being proposed. See, this show and my websites do not tell you how bad it is. It's hard to describe how bad it is. I can't get my guys to tell you how bad it is. It's very frustrating. Experiments similar to Caldera's proposal are already being carried out. See, he gets to that. By U.S. government-backed scientists such as those at the U.S. Department of Energy's DOE, Savannah River National Laboratory in Aiken, South Carolina, who this year conducted studies which involved shooting huge amounts of particulate matter, into this case, porous walled glass microspheres into the stratosphere. The project, which reached its conclusion this past April, is closely tied to the idea of Nobel Prize winner Paul Crutzen, who proposed sending aircraft, 747s, to dump huge quantities of sulfur particles into the far reaches of the stratosphere to cool down the atmosphere. Such programs merely scatter the surface of what is likely to be our gargantuan, overreaching, black budget-funded project to geoengineer the planet. We'll be back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Forget Fabled Enemies, Jason Mermis's new film that I produced, is available on DVD, now shipping out at InfoWars.com. 2-hour film, an hour and a half of amazing extras, really two films, $19.95. Get it for $9.95 when you get it with Truth Rising or some of my other films that I produced and directed. But this is Fabled Enemies, directed by Jason Burmis, available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139. Now, it's also in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Not only are all 19 of my films and this 20th film that I put out up there for members in super high quality, it's that you can burn them to disc. You can burn them to DivX. You can put them on hard drives. You can share them in high quality, not cruddy YouTube or Google. So go get your 15-cent a day membership, $5.95, and that also allows us to make more films. That allows myself and others to go to Denver or go to New York or to pay activists, you know, a little bit of money for their footage or to buy cameras for activists. You know, I mean, it takes money to make this operation go forward. I'm very proud of Fabled Enemies. You know, it hit number one on Google Video. And because Jason uploaded it in his version on his Google account, Google about 8 months ago started making their hits secret. Only the person that uploaded it and Google can know that. Well, it had hundreds of thousands of views in one day. It went to number one, was number one on the second day. And guess what happened? Google froze it for the day, knocked it out of the top 100, and has frozen Jason's internal counter. He has screenshots on that. We're going to be posting an article in the next hour at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So here I am on my own show advertising. You can watch it for free on YouTube and Google. And now we're in danger with these films of not even making a profit and kind of destroying ourselves in the process, but I guess I can take advertising money and donations and fund making future films. Was a really mean person sent me an email saying, "Oh, I see Jason's making a lot of money. He had some dentistry done. You people are really sick. My dad's a dentist, and we did that for Jason for free." But the sad part is, we deserve to be able to have our fillings filled and be able to put gas in our cars. We're bringing a valuable service exposing the New World Order, and I want the Patriot movement to stop being intimidated by the trolls and people out there. I mean, we listen to it. Oh, how dare us be able to pay for socks and shoes? How dare Burmis be able to live in a $200 a month apartment? He needs to be homeless. How dare us sell our videos? When I hear that kind of talk, I say, you know what? Donate to me. In fact, folks, people ask me, I want to donate. Okay, you want to donate? Go to InfoWars.com and buy 100 copies of Fabled Enemies. That's how I want you to donate. Because then you know you're going to get hard copies of the film, and you can give them to people or sell them or whatever, and you know it's going to have an effect. Or if you just want to write us a check, go ahead and do that. And I want to thank all the people that have actually donated to us. I didn't start asking for donations until about 6-8 months ago because I realized I need to pay my people better. I need to expand. I need to get better cameras and get a better building and affect change and take action. That particular thing, though, about, you know, websites. Look, he's got braces. He's rich. You're some sick freaks, man. You're some sick, sick freaks. So, you know what? I want you to buy as many of Fabled Enemies as you can because a lot of that money goes to Jason Burma so he can make future films. Infowars.com. Go there. Get Fabled Enemies. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. I want to thank all of you that have PrisonPlanet.tv memberships. I want to thank everybody that's made this show possible. God bless you. We've hurt the New World Order. We've only begun to fight. They are screaming and howling in anger thanks to your support of this show and the action you've taken. God bless you. Intensify it. The dragon is roaring because we're stabbing him right in the underbelly. So go to Infowars.com or call toll-free to get Fabled Enemies, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cent a day, hundreds and hundreds of my TV shows, in-studio reports, the live fourth-hour video cam, document cam. It's just insane. 15 cents a day, the best subscription deal out there, bar none. And it allows us to have better servers to then give it to you in higher quality and not have it slow down. It's awesome now. And you know why? Because I didn't blow that money that came in from members. I just kept upgrading and upgrading and upgrading and upgrading and upgrading, and we're upgrading again. And we're going to hire, we need an extra IT person. We're so busy here, we're so busy we can't even do the bigger things we want to do. So send your resumes in for webmastering, for IT. You know, let's just see what you got. If you live in Austin, Texas, or the surrounding area, and you got references, mike@infowars.com. Okay, I'm done ranting. I just started thinking about it. Now, when Jason Burmes got down here, he had absolutely nothing. They lived basically in a little shack house up in upstate New York. He was taking care of his young niece. The economy's falling apart up there. When the guys did get some money from Loose Change, they made hundreds of thousands. I think he said like 300,000 copies or something for free and gave them away on the streets. And I remember a mailing to Austin activists, you know, 30,000 copies, Chicago activists, 50,000 copies for free. And I was like, you guys better stop that. Oh, we're just going to give, give, give. And I said, yeah. But I said, you got to keep something back. You got to keep seed money back. Literally, like a farmer. They didn't listen and totally blew everything giving the films away. I mean, they really did say on the site, if you're a first responder or know somebody, it's a free video. Well, everybody said it, they were knew a family member or were a family member or a first responder, so about half the videos they even sold were free. So they went bankrupt, basically. And Jason's like, I was halfway through this film, please. So he gets down here, he has no money, and he does, I'm just telling you so you know. He gets down here, he's staying in a $200 a month apartment with a guy who's a hippie and doesn't believe in air conditioning. So he moved in with Aaron Dykes in his apartment. He never had a car. Never had a car. The guy's worked in pizza places and everywhere else, you know, hardworking guy. By the way, his mom's got a brain tumor, terminal brain tumor right now. His dad's dead. I mean, let's just talk about who Jason Burmes is now that I'm off on this rant here. Because it makes me mad. So we get him down here, we buy him a $5,000 car. My dad's a dentist. Burmes is insecure about a big space in his teeth. I think it's cool, but he's whining about it. I said, you know what? I'll give you free braces. My dad did it. And we gave him $1,000 to go back home to get back in his car. And we're bad. You know what? Buy Fabled Enemies. Support Jason Burmes. He deserves to be able to live decently and take care of his family. He deserves to be able to take care of his mother who's got a brain tumor. He deserves that. So I don't mean to get off on a rant like this. It just makes me so sick that websites were created saying, look, he's got braces. You people are sick. We deserve to actually be comfortable so we could be honored and make better films and do a better job as your champions in this fight. So you know what? People try to intimidate me and cow me. They've done it to my writers, you know, where they where you can have the most incredible thing happening and they give it some lame headline watering it down because we're trying to be objective. There's nothing objective about this. Or where those guys wanted to be so good and give everything away. Maybe God blessed them by them coming to me. And then I supported them. But the point is that their giving deserves to be rewarded. Now I'm going to shut up. I know Luke's been holding for 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I want to bring Luke Radowski up. We Are Change needs your support. They've had a bunch of cameras stolen, stuff attacked. They got events coming up in New York. They need people to buy tickets to make sure they can pay for the events. A lot of things are happening there. We are the tip of the spear. We Are Change, Infowars.com. Go to WeAreChange.org. Support them as well. Luke Radowski, good to have you on, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
I probably said some things on air I shouldn't have, but I just know to know the behind-the-scenes stuff and to know the kind of stuff we're all going through, the death threats you're getting, the death threats I'm getting, local patriot groups trying to make stuff up and call cops on us. It's just unbelievable. And yes, I'm aware of it, you bastards. You think I'm stupid? But, I mean, the point is we're under attack, and we need your support because we're having an effect. Luke, I want to talk about the festivities coming up in New York, the expose, the first responders benefit. But before we do that, give me your take on what happened in Denver.
Denver was an amazing trip. I really want to thank We Are Change Colorado for everything they were doing out there. It was amazing taking over live broadcasts of MSNBC. It was amazing confronting politicians all over the streets of Denver. It was amazing seeing the protests, the riots, the police actually even arresting a 12-year-old in the streets for no reason, which I have video of. It was an incredible week there, documenting everything, showing the world what was going on live TV, on Justin TV, where we had our live video feeds, showing the world exactly what's happening, unedited, live, to protect us and to protect everybody, make sure that nobody steps out of line, and make sure nobody gets violent. It was an incredible week.
We should have gone to Minnesota because things didn't go well there.
Yeah, I wish I was there in Minnesota. My guys in We Are Change Minnesota are out there, and they're getting pepper sprayed. They're getting shot with rubber bullets. They're going through hell right now, but they're documenting everything. They have videos of everything. Last night, they just posted videos after the Rage Against the Machine concert where the police basically pepper sprayed everybody, and it's incredible what's happening right now in Minneapolis, and I wish I was there, but we can't make it. But those guys are out there doing an excellent job. And just like we took over MSNBC in Denver, they're taking over MSNBC over there in Minneapolis.
Other thoughts before we go to break on Denver?
My main thing is they're doing excellent work. We're there exposing everything. We wish we had the live video feed there. We don't. I'm not there. You're not there. But those guys are getting excellent video of everything that's going on there. They're going to be releasing it on YouTube, showing the world everything that's going on. And it's sad that the police state has expanded all the way in Minneapolis, and they're doing these horrible things to all the activists. Amy Goodman got arrested for no reason. People are getting threatened with arrest for no reason.
They're charging them with terrorism. Stay there. Luke Radowski, my guest on the front lines of the info war.
The next stop that we make will be mine. Tell all the folks in Russia and China too. Don't you know that it's time to get on board?
It's probably a hoax, so I'm not going to say the person's name. But it's going around the web that a well-known 9/11 truth person committed suicide, Arkansas. Now, we know they have killed some wives of firefighters and others that saw bombs. They've killed some wives of supposed pilots. So there has been a lot of wet work going on around 9/11. We have confirmed that one 9/11 truth first responder reportedly committed suicide. It's not the person, the rumors going around. We're trying to track that down later in the show. If it's true or not true, we'll tell you about it. But we got to be careful, because if we even report that we believe it's a hoax, people will edit the audio of the show to where I'm saying it. There's a lot of dirty tricks going on right now, so be aware of that. You know we're over the target, folks. We're getting all the flack. Okay, going back to Luke Radowski, We Are Change. Luke, they have charged 8 people who were not even involved in overturning trash cans and park benches with terrorism. This is the same law they tried to pass at the state level in Rhode Island and in Oregon a few years ago, now 4 years ago, 3 years ago, respectively. 4 years ago, Oregon, 3 years ago, Rhode Island. Maybe 5 and 4, time flies. But the point is, this is really a dangerous new precedent. We just now are reviewing the video from the MSNBC demonstration we had where the MSNBC employees are punching me, breaking my bullhorn, attacking me, and attacking my cameraman. And I mean viciously. They broke it. That's going to be going up in the next few hours at Infowars.com. Minnesota Change has got incredible footage of the police rioting. They attack the peaceful crowd. Then the crowd fights back and are called terrorists. This country's gone. Luke?
I mean, even when we were in Denver taking over MSNBC, when I was on the law's shoulder, on his bullhorning on his shoulders, there were people who were trying to throw me off of his shoulders and trying to throw me down to the floor, people hitting me with signs, trying to take me down. And it was just an incredible experience, but we persevered. Even though they broke your bullhorn, as soon as we found that out, we brought two of them down there. We brought down a whole team. We brought down everybody, and they couldn't do anything about it. We took back the broadcast. We let the whole world know about 9/11 Truth, and that's what it's about. It's about a peaceful revolution, taking things over peacefully.
And by the way, we completely took it over. People say, oh, that's so aggressive. Yeah, we have a terrorist government that ignores the Bill of Rights and the people's will on every issue and is completely rogue. And you better believe we're doing a shadow of what our founding fathers did, a shadow.
We're being attacked all over the place. We're over the target. We're getting all the flack. We're getting death threats. We're getting harassed everywhere.
Because they're scared people are going to emulate what we're doing, folks, because we've got something that wins. We've got something that motivates and has woken up millions of people. It's called action and passion and truth and a belief in God and a commitment to liberty. We are unstoppable if we simply take action. Luke, that's why the attacks have intensified 100-fold, and I just praise God for that. And I mean that when I say it, because that lets me know that I am fighting the beast toe-to-toe.
It shows us that we're right, we're on the right path, we're doing the right thing, we're standing up for truth and love, and nothing can stop us. It's a peaceful revolution. We're taking things back slowly. People are not even watching the news or buying newspapers anymore. They're going on the internet, they're going on InfoWars, they're going on We Are Changed, they're getting educated, they're passing the videos along, and they're finding out what's going on. Right now, as we speak, people are getting educated and are waking up to this huge lie that we're all living in, and that's what's beautiful. And even though we're getting a lot of flack, even though we're getting a lot of troubles, it's all worth it for everybody to wake up so we can make everybody safer, so we can make everybody aware of the situation.
Well, I remember sitting,
what it's about.
I agree. I'm going to hold you over, Luke, to talk about the events in New York. But I remember sitting in Sunday school when I was, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm thinking, a blessing to be persecuted? What is this talking about? A blessing to be thrown in jail for no reason? A blessing to be physically attacked? A blessing to be killed? But now I know it's because you're doing good. You're fighting evil. You're protecting the weak and the meek. You are standing up against tyranny, and you're having an effect. And it's what we're designed to do in this one life we have that is a test. And to be in the right, to know that you're not in some false right, or you're not in some, because the globalists are experts at manipulating people into thinking they're doing good. I know historically, intellectually, spiritually, in my gut, in the seat of my intellect, that I'm not perfect. Luke Radowski isn't perfect. None of us are, but we are making history, and we are standing up against evil, and we are having a great effect. And that's why we know persecution is good, because you don't get persecuted if you're not doing good, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have the enemy come against you if you're not hurting them badly. And I want to hurt them. I want to expose them. I want to discredit them. I want to bring them down so they can't continue to hurt the people from the high places. And you better believe it's spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it's good against evil. We'll be right back with Luke Radowski.
I'm your masters of war.
Folks, think about it. We make a video in 6 months called Fabled Enemies. Jason Burmes' new film goes to number one in one day on Google Video. Google World, number one. They have different rating systems, and Google USA. Number one. Number one in England. Number one in Germany. Number one worldwide.
I just don't want you to know I can see.
Picture sports stadiums filled with hundreds of thousands of people.
You that never.
Every hour watching it.
But built to destroy.
And what does Google do? They go in and they freeze it, they block it for today, knock it out of the top 100. Got screenshots of it. We'll be posting an article at InfoWars.com on that in the next few hours that Burmese is doing. That's the effect we're having. Number one worldwide. And on a daily basis, you will see Patriot films that are number one until suddenly you'll see them there for a day and then they're gone completely. They are knocking out my films, Terror Storm, Endgame, all of them. You can't let that stop you. You've got to get it on DVD, buy a DVD burner, buy a bunch of extra DVDs. You're going to be so much more satisfied having a DVD burner in your garage, your living room, and just every hour, every 30 minutes, every 10 minutes, if you can sit there while you're watching TV or surfing, just burning copies. La, 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 la. I mean, let's get aggressive. Let's not make a copy once a week. Let's make 10 copies a day. Buy a big burner. Let's make hundreds of copies. You can buy a mass producer for a few $1,000s. Take any of my films. Make thousands of copies. Have a garage sale. Make a few $100. Send out a few hundred DVDs. But also support the main command base in the InfoWar. Buy some of the books and DVDs and films at InfoWars.com. Okay, I'm going to shut up about that. Luke Radowski, there's so much going on, so much happening. We really are affecting change. There's big events coming up in New York. Tell folks about those different days and those different events.
Well, the time is now when we're doing 3 days of fundraisers for first responders. We need to help these guys out immediately. When I was in Denver, I actually found out one of my friends passed away, Greg Quibel. He left four kids behind. He was a federal marshal, 9/11 first responder. He passed away due to leukemia. The time is now. We need all the help we could get to help out these sick and dying 9/11 heroes, and that's what we're going to be doing in New York City. We just had a survivor who saw explosions in the basement commit suicide, and it's up to us to be out there at ground zero, this 9/11, to show the whole world that the truth will not stop, that we're going to be out there and we will not be silent, and we will talk about the truth, and we will let everybody know the truth behind 9/11.
Let me go ahead and call Aaron in here. Aaron, you've got now there's a hoax about one first responder dying. There's another one who, according to their own family, did commit suicide, but are you sure about that, Luke?
There's one first responder that it's in the daily news right now that passed away. His name was, what's it called? I'm looking on the internet right now.
I don't know where my guy is. Hey, come on in here, Aaron. He just went outside. He has the article. He was, come on in with the first responder story that's in the daily news. Can I have that? And then you're about to be on air with the eugenic story. You're on in 2 minutes. Go ahead, Luke.
We know Kenny John Amon, who witnessed the explosions in the basement, apparently committed suicide, is reported in the daily news right now. We need to be out there. We need to support all the first responders, all the heroes of 9/11. And I'm asking people if they could bring down candles down to 9/11 this year, down to ground zero, so we could light them in memory of all the ones lost of 9/11. We're going to have a peaceful vigil there, and we're going to let the world know that we're standing up for truth and justice, and that we will never stop until there's enough help for the first responders, until there's enough answers for the family members. And that's what it's about, being out there, standing strong. The website is 2008nowornever.com. We're doing 3 days of events. We don't have a lot of money. We're doing everything we can to make sure this happens without a hitch, and we're doing everything in our possibilities to make sure we put on a great show for everybody.
Now, look, you always run into the problem of not having enough money for the venues, but you make it happen because you give every dime to the first responders. You have to hold some back so that you can do further events, Luke.
Right now, our main concern is just helping the lives of these heroes. Again, Greg Quibel just passed away because of leukemia a couple of days ago, and it's extremely sad that this is happening, and we right now, we don't take a single red cent because these people need it more. It's life or death for these guys, and that's why we're doing it, and we're just asking for the movement support in coming to New York City and donating to us and helping us save the lives of these heroes, because if the government won't do it, we will do it. We are here. We are changed. We will take care of this situation, and we're doing everything we can, the best way as we can, to help out these heroes. We're asking people to donate on September 11th to first responders. Donate to We Are Change. We'll give all the money to the first responders. It's about helping those in need, and that's what we're about.
But how are you going to pay for the venues then?
People are even putting up their own money. I'm putting up my own money, and we're making anything happen. We don't have a lot of money, but we're making things happen.
No, I know that, Luke. I actually know the behind-the-scenes stuff of... you guys have to at least pay for the venue, though, out of the ticket sales, and then give the rest, so there's not always this crisis of selling people's cars and things to pay for the venues. I know you guys have raised, what is it total for first responders, for the Feel Good Foundation and others?
What do you mean in total?
I mean, in all the other events, you guys have raised quite a bit.
Well, throughout the years, we raised about $40,000 to $50,000 for first responders, and all the money we got from this move will go straight to them.
Well, you've done a great job, Luke, and, you know, at the same time, you know, I flew up there on my own dime, you know, had the premiere. We gave all that money, all of it, to the fight, just like you guys are doing. I'm just, you know, really want you guys to make sure that you personally don't go too deep into hawk. I know the example of the Feel Good Foundation, John Feel, you know, gave his own kidney. He also had a big beam crush his foot in the debris, but he gave his own kidney to a NYPD officer, and he's a firefighter. And that's all covered in Truth Rising. I mean, these are incredible people. And when
you watch Truth Rising, you can also hear the story of Greg Corbell, who recently passed away.
That's right.
His story is extremely sad.
He was a police officer, a federal investigator, and he'll tell you it's an inside job from the grave in the film. And he was there. We covered it, and it's at the end of Truth Rising, where they're there at a press conference just asking for health care. His lungs were filled with the deadly poisons and toxins, and the feds told him, no money for treatment for you. And we've had over, 2,000 die now, thousands more dying, and we will be spit on by police for trying to save them. That's their imperial conditioning. They love to die for their masters, but that's those that are under mind control. A lot of the police officers thank us and appreciate us for what we're doing. Remember, the government lied to you about the poison dust because, in the words of Henry Kissinger, the police and military are dumb animals to be used as cannon fodder.
The federal government lied to these 9/11 heroes. The federal government is now denying them the proper help that they need, and they're ignoring these heroes. We are not ignoring these heroes. We're going to do everything possible in our hands right now, even if it means risking our own money, financial situations to help these guys. We're going to do it because we care. We are changed. We're going to do anything possible to help these guys out. We have a heart, and that's what we're showing to everybody, and that's something nobody can attack. Nobody can talk bad about, because this is what life's about, helping others.
Well, they actually do. The trolls go on the We Are Change website and the InfoWars website, and they do go in the videos about dead first responders and make fun of them, and, yeah, you dumb cop with the 9/11 truthers, you deserve to die. Yeah, you firefighter scum who thought it was an inside job, I'm glad you're dead. I mean, these are the sickest filth on earth.
Yeah, John Field gets harassing phone calls in the middle of the night from a lot of people harassing him because he's involved with We Are Change.
Guaranteed you, it's a federal cop calling up to a firefighter that gave his kidney to a cop. They hate it because it makes them look bad. These cowardly people that do as they will, do as thou wilt, who serve themselves, it upsets them in their core to see John Field give a kidney.
It's about standing courageously, doing everything we can, helping those in need. That proves us right and is right. And that's what life's about. We have a short time in this world, and it's a huge test, and it's about doing the right thing. And that's all we're trying to do. And we're asking this movement for help because we need it. And we need volunteers. We need help. We need donations. And anything possible, we're here, and we're going to do it.
They're going to pour in right now, and I have to tell you, Luke is so selfless, folks. They don't even keep the money for their own cameras. I've bought them cameras when they get smashed and stolen, and I've donated quite a few, I guess 5 cameras. My listeners have donated a bunch of other cameras. They really are in the front lines of the fight, and they deserve your help, and they need some seed money to help pay for the venues, and that's coming up next week. Learn all the details at wearechange.org. Will they be able to buy tickets at the events, the premiere up in New York of Fabled Enemies and Truth Rising, or at the other big events, at the door if people don't have internet, Luke?
Yeah, of course, we're going to be selling tickets at the door for all events. You could buy tickets right now at the website, 2008nowornever.com, and people could go out there and get tickets any way they can.
2008nowornever.com or link through it, wearechange.org. Okay, Luke, I want you to pop in again with me next week as we build towards this event. And just God bless you, my friend. It was great seeing you in Denver.
Thanks for having me, brother. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Absolutely, Luke. We appreciate you. You can hear me there on air spanking Luke a bit because I watched the Loose Change guys give all their seed money away in free DVDs until they were bankrupt. And, you know, it's kind of like a fisherman going out and needing fish bait and cutting their fingers off to put it on the line. Just go dig for worms, folks. But that's how good these guys are. is that they just literally give it all back, 100%. And I've done the same thing in two trips to New York and two benefits I've done. But I can do that. We have a little bit of capital reserves. Technically, I guess we really don't. I'd be a better steward if I did end up paying for the trip, because then I can put it into bigger and better things. But my point is, they are not in a position to do that, and so they do need some capital to make sure they can pay for these events. Okay, wearechange.org, folks. Okay, I want to bring Aaron Dykes up for the rest of this hour, because we're going into a full hour with Dr. Stan Monteith, a medical doctor, on the history of eugenics, the mindset of the New World Order, what makes them tick. But I want you to understand the chemtrails, the aerial spraying, which the government admits they're doing now with deadly poisons, the mercury in the vaccines, the cancer viruses in the vaccines causing cancer, causing diabetes. It's all admitted. There's no debating it. This is all eugenics. There's three kinds of eugenics. There's positive eugenics, negative eugenics. This is their terms. You can go study those two types. And then there's the true or higher eugenics, the master plan eugenics, the one that's in academic PhD level, intercollegiate, intramural, think tank level. And we've got them all, folks. I mean, you go down this rabbit hole, it is horrifying. But haven't all mad scientists through history enjoyed killing, enjoyed testing, enjoyed playing God? You know, when an H.G. Wells or somebody writes a book, or a Jules Verne writes a book about, you know, the island of Dr. Moreau and half human, half chimpanzee creatures, that's been declassified for 10 years. Okay, I mean, this is all going on. Cloned beef is on your shelves. Cloned hogs or pork. Cloned chickens. Now they've got cloned dogs, hundreds of them, breeding into the main breed, admitting they've got new DNA and new makeup that's mutating. I mean, this is very dangerous. I've had top scientists on repeatedly where they admit the guinea pigs and the rats all die when they feed them these GMO. This is back in the 80s and 90s when they would change one gene. Yeah, it would make the potato last longer, but it would also change randomly thousands of other expressions, new amino acids. There's more than 54 now. You didn't know that? Again, your body has never been designed to absorb that. It's toxic. It's causing, and then they have syndromes, cover syndromes like AIDS for all the problems this causes. Cover syndromes like Crohn's that went from nobody having it in 1950 to now 1 in 200. See, it's just spreading. 1 in 1,000 back in the 30s having diabetes. Now 1 in 5. Depending on the racial group, 1 in 3. And then thousands of studies in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, medical journals, British Medical Journal, the most prestigious, that it fries your pancreas. This is all by design. Bayer Pharmaceutical, and I only use this because it's one of the few things that actually got national attention. All the other stuff's admitted. Millions of ampules of factor VIII that gave every person HIV and hepatitis and killed them. And they knew it for a decade and shipped it out. And the media says, oh, they just wanted profits. Bull. Bayer were the top Nazis. IBM were the top Nazis. They want to kill you. I want to bring up until the 8 after now Aaron Dykes. Aaron, go over some of those quotes for people I said we cover yesterday.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of quotes in front of me, but the point I wanted to make first was basically what you're outlining there, that while the potential benefits of eugenics sounds nice, it has this appeal of the promise of being more mentally fit and physically together, these systems always turn into psychopathic maniacs. And you see this with the Nazi system, but you also see it with the staged terror we have today in the U.S. You know, first there's the 9/11 attacks, which seem legitimate, they're not. And then all of a sudden these people are talking about, we need another attack to keep this thing going. We need another attack. And I've personally heard environmental...
They're right out in the open.
Yeah, I personally heard environmentalists on the streets, low-level college students, talking about the same thing, how they believe we need another attack.
Yeah, you go out for drinks with friends, and then girlfriends come over, and they're talking about everyone must die, it's going to be beautiful.
What we really need is a crisis to get this environmental thing moving. It's this Eric Pianka-esque talk.
And they're creating the genetic engineering crises, and then they'll grandstand out of that, these little bastards.
And I'm telling you, these things get out of control. Galton himself, in his own writings, was mainly a, quote, positive eugenics guy. He wanted the high-bred, high-society people to maintain their luster. But his first protege, H.G. Wells, got out of control. He wanted everyone who was unfit mentally or physically to be isolated, and if they tried to breed, to, quote, kill them. And it just goes to show, and Beatrice Webb was initially supporting Lenin, so was H.G. Wells, so was George Bernard Shaw to some extent, all those Fabian socialists. They were supporting that Lenin communist system, and then it got out of control. Well, did they see that coming? I don't know, but it always leads to this tyranny. So I'm going to read just a bunch of quotes. And
yeah, it's the worst, most horrible control freak you can imagine with total control. They just bloodbath, folks.
These are literally people who are elites, who consider themselves to be elites, and who are literally seeking godlike powers, a lot of them in those words. And they're also seeking total social control, and you can see this is never going to be good.
And they're all obsessive-compulsive perverts.
At best, it's only good for the elites.
But, I mean, you read about them, they're all obsessive-compulsive perverts, crapping on themselves, drinking bloods, raping children. I mean, this is sick filth.
So, yeah, it starts with the idea of improving mankind, but you can see, par for the course, there's always going to be some of these academics who get out of control, and they're basically psychopathic maniacs waiting to happen.
Skinner murdering his own son, being praised for it, torturing him to death in a box over several years.
Yeah.
They're like, the strength, the beauty of murdering your own son. Oh, my God, it's so beautiful.
So, yeah, that's what I have to say about eugenics. Not only is it a flawed idea, but we've already seen the excesses it can go to. And Hitler, he may be the most extreme that's actually carried it out, but, you know, I have congressional testimony of people talking about biological warfare, and we have PNAC documents talking about biological warfare, ethnic cleansing, and genocide.
And I didn't know the Austin American Statesman even reported back in 2004, I guess that they picked it up for me, that PNAC wants to use race-specific bioweapons to kill certain races. I'm going to have you ride shotgun some with Monteith. Let's come back and start just going into all of these quotes for people. There are hundreds, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll just be interspersing these every few minutes coming up. But the next few segments are solid Aaron Dykes. Did I tell you Fabled Enemies is out, that Google Video censored it and kicked it off number one at the top 100? Don't let them do that. Get it out to everybody. Get the DVD. They can't stop you from doing that. We are sending out an SOS, everybody. We are warning everybody as best we can. No one here but me. We know what the globalists are planning. World government is only the means to an end. They need that grid to kill you, to kill me, to kill your family. In an organized fashion through compartmentalized medical systems that don't know what's happening. But it's all there. Okay, Aaron, let's start going into quotes here.
All right, first a couple older quotes pre-Thomas Malthus. One is Theognis of Megara. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right. 520 BC, ram, ass, and horse, my Kyrenos, we look over with care and seek good stock for good to cover. And yet the best man make no argument, but wed for money, runts of poor descent. So too a woman will demean her state and spurn the better for the richer mate. Money's the cry, good stock to bad is wed, and bad to good till the world's crossbred. No wonder if the country's breed declines. Mixed metal, Kyrenos, that but dimly shines. Early eugenics there. William Penn, 1693. Men are generally more careful of the breed of their horses and dogs than of their children. You hear that quote a lot. And now Thomas Malthus. It does not seem, however, impossible that by an attention to breed, a certain degree of improvement, similar to that among animals, might take place among men. Whether intellect could be communicated may be a matter of doubt, but size, strength, beauty, complexion, and perhaps even longevity are in a degree transmissible. As the human race could not be improved in this way without condemning all the bad specimens to celibacy, it is not probable that an attention to breed should ever become general, which would not be true when eugenics rose to popularity at the turn of the 20th century. Francis Galton, who coined the term eugenics in 1883, eugenics is the study of the agencies under social control that may improve or impair the racial qualities of future generations, either physically or mentally. What nature does blindly, slowly, and ruthlessly, Galton says, man may do providentially, quickly, and kindly. As it lies within his power, so it becomes his duty to work in that direction.
Now, see, they simplify all this, but they found that it isn't necessarily the look of somebody that's associated with their intelligence. It isn't supposedly the color of someone that's associated with their intelligence. So again, you have this basic 2,500-year-old theory that's carried right through Greece, Rome, the Byzantine, right into the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, the Renaissance, right up into the Industrial Revolution, where it is adopted. But see, so when you hear royalty 600, 700 years ago talking about controlling the peasants, breeding them out, dumbing them down, eugenics already existed. In fact, it's a Greek word, meaning eternal youth. And so this is the basic fraud that now everything is based and built on, and it's the excuse and rationale to kill and dumb down and poison whoever you want.
But now they have the auspices of science behind it, although it's completely, they hadn't figured it all out yet. It's clear, and it was really
well, they just stack
elitism.
New science on top of the basic mission. Go ahead.
Yeah, so here's one from John Maynard Keynes, the big, American socialist who put us on, the fiat world currency and everything. And it just shows the social control that they're after. Galton's eccentric, skeptical, observing, flashing, cavalry leader type of mind led him eventually to become the founder of the most important, significant, and I would add, genuine branch of sociology which exists, namely eugenics. John Maynard Keynes, 1946.
So see, it's the dominant, it's the zeitgeist, it's everything. It's all they talk about at cocktail parties.
Yeah, and you'll see a quote from Theodore Roosevelt in a few minutes here.
Yeah, we'll be back in 70 seconds. Take us out with another quote.
Natural selection must be replaced by eugenical artificial selection. This idea constitutes the sound core of eugenics, the applied science of human betterment. Theodosius Dobzhansky, Heredity of Nature and Man, 1964.
Now again, all of your modern sciences grew out of this. It rules.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, they're charging a bunch of people in Minnesota who were not violent as terrorists. That's meant to scare anybody from ever going to a protest again. We're going into complete tyranny right now. Also, in a fascist state, cameras equal terrorism. In America and England, citizens are being urged to report people taking pictures as potential terrorists. And they just come up and tell you, turn your cameras off again. It's social engineering. There's no law against protesting. There's no law against cameras. They're going to put cameras on you, but you might go to jail. See, they're being told to social engineer us. Don't worry, cops. It's just so they can shoot you up full of that cancer. It's just so they can control your life and ruin your future, too. So go ahead and think you're winning. You're destroying your own family's future. Aaron, get back into the eugenics quotes for people so they understand the true nature of the New World Order.
Yeah, we're talking about eugenics, and a lot of people wonder why it's relevant today. Well, there's new and worse science and still the same horrible elites. A lot of you already know the Project for a New American Century quote from 2000, and advanced forms of biological warfare that can, quote, target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Well, I also have Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen in 97 warning of a similar thing. This is congressional testimony. There are some reports, for example, that some countries have been trying to construct something like an Ebola virus, and that would be a very dangerous phenomenon, to say the least. Alvin Toffler has written about this in terms of some scientists in their laboratories trying to devise certain types of pathogens that would be ethnic-specific so that they could just eliminate certain ethnic groups and races. And others are designing some sort of engineering, some sort of insects that can destroy specific crops. Others even engaging in eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes. He acts as
though... Let's stop there. Meanwhile, we have mainstream media and mainstream government universities admitting they're spraying the clouds, they're spraying the aerosols, the sodium chemicals, the barium salts, the sulfur dioxide. They're doing it, and then PNAC goes on and says we need to get the media ready to use these race weapons as a legitimate tool. So They're doing this, folks, and they're not playing games. The new Ministry of Defense British report last year says we'll use neutron bombs. If anybody tries to take D.C., they'll neutron bomb them. If anybody tries to take London, they'll just neutron bomb you. You try to remove this criminal black op government, it's over. We have to have everybody wake up at our separate cities, stop going along with them, let them know we're fully aware of their plan, and then, without our acquiescence, they'll probably have to back off. They'll still probably launch a bio attack and pose as saviors. But if you don't go along with it, they won't do it. We have to have a real negotiation with these people. But they say they don't respect us because they publish all of this, and then we don't even respond to them, so they say that is acquiescence. We have to have a real debate with them, okay? Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, yeah, and they act like they're talking about other countries. Well, ask yourself, who has the science? Who has the science military-industrial complex?
Yeah, that's a 97 press conference. The point is, in all the documents and in the 2000 announcement, they're doing it.
Yeah.
Change weapons quarterly. It's the U.S., Israel, and England. They're the main ones.
All right, so if I could jump back in time, back earlier in the century, here's a Bertrand Russell, 1972, The Scientific Outlook. Impregnation will be regarded in an entirely different manner, more in the light of a surgical operation, so that it will be thought not ladylike to have it performed in the natural manner. Herman J. Mueller, 1935, there's no permanent status quo.
Now, see, that's important because it hands the control of the embryo over to their development so they can manipulate it, and they say that now. Go ahead.
Well, you can see that eugenics is a scientific...
Well, see, first they say we're going to test for diseases. Now they're saying in England and the U.S., maybe we won't let you have that baby if there's a chance there's a problem. Of course, they say what a problem is, like being, quote, aggressive.
And you can see the control is clearly a scientific dictatorship, like in Brave New World or et cetera.
And they're saying they're going to breed to be more intelligent and more precise. They don't want the, quote, bad sons or the middle class genetics that they think is dominant to be able to threaten them. So they're seeking to stop it. Stay there. I'm going to bring Dr. Stan Monteef up for a larger discussion. You'll be with us for the full hour, Aaron.
Great.
Then we've got the big Dallas Cowboy, who's a 9/11 truther, coming on live with us in the fourth hour today, Mark Stepnosky. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're live and worldwide at InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and JonesReport.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We've got Dr. Stan Monteef joining us for part two of a larger eugenics discussion, what makes the New World Order tick, how they believe they are the social architects controlling society for the last 150 years, and they've indeed done that to a horrific effect, and where all of this is going. Aaron Dykes riding shotgun with us as well for the next 52 minutes with some interesting quotes. Aaron, read a few more of those quotes. We're going to go to medical doctor Stan Monteef, also syndicated radio host and author.
Yeah, here's one. Back in 35, Herman J. Mueller, he was an assistant to Julian Huxley, brother to the author Aldous Huxley. He talks about how man is the first being yet evolved, which can note his own changefulness, and that it will be to his advantage to use eugenic ideas to invent new characteristics, organs, biological systems, get this, that will work out to further his interests, happiness, and the glory of the godlike being whose meager foreshadowings we, the present ailing creatures, are. And you'll see that the futurists have that same idea in mind, becoming godlike creatures.
Well, it was Aldous Huxley, brother Julian Huxley, who founded the transhumanist movement in the 1950s, saying we're going to change our name because eugenics has been demonized by Hitler.
Yeah, he did. I have that quote if you want to take the time.
Well, I mean, I love the transhumanists call me up and say I'm a liar. And I go, well, do you know who your founder is? And they go, no. And I have them Google it, and they go, oh, my God, it's true.
Well, he's basically indicating eugenics' name is spoiled, but hopefully we can revive it someday. And, of course, he coined the name transhumanism.
That's crypto-eugenics.
Yeah, that's true. Now, this is a futurist. It's not all futurists, but it shows you what's par for the core. This is Barbara Marx Hubbard. Really wild stuff.
Well, the founders of futurism were eugenicists. The point is, are there some offshoots that don't follow it? Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole quote because it's really too long, but she gets off.
And she set up the Pentagon Special Forces groups. Go ahead and read it.
Yeah, she gets off, and this is like a Revelations interpretation, a gross distortion.
Read the whole thing. Monteef's happy to stay there.
All right. Out of the full spectrum of human personality, one-fourth is electing to transcend. One-fourth is ready to so choose, given the example of one other. The next fourth is resistant to election. They are unattracted by life ever evolving. The final fourth is destructive. They are born angry with God. They are defective seeds. There have always been defective seeds. In the past, they were permitted to die a, quote, natural death. Continue, quote, we the elders have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation to take action to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity. It's like watching a cancer grow. Now as we approach the quantum shift from creature-human to co-creative human, the human who is an inheritor of godlike powers, the destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. We have no choice, dearly beloveds. Fortunately, you, dearly beloveds, are not responsible for this act. We are. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse death. We come to bring death to those who are unable to know God. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. Grim reapers, they will separate the wheat from the chaff. This is the most painful period in the history of humanity.
They always say it's so painful, but we're going to have to murder everyone, but it's so beautiful.
And now, she trained the special forces. This is the highest level CIA is giving this training. They're brought into a Luciferian ritual. They are told it's going to be mass extermination and death for the God power, for Christ to come back to Earth. This is the highest level Luciferian system. She set up in Special Forces the Earth First Battalion, which is the modern name of Earth First. Continue.
Barbara Marks Hubbard, who is, of course, somewhat mild because she only wants a fourth dead, whereas many of them want 90% dead. I have Eric Pianca's student, Rebecca Khaleesi, saying, quote, there's no denying the natural world would be a better place without people.
Period.
All people, not a selective bunch. Get it straight.
And then she's, of course, working now in bioweapons research. So you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. They're coming. Police, you're being sprayed by them. The chemtrails are admitted. Mainstream news just broke at prisonplanet.com. You're being sprayed with barium salt, sulfur dioxide. We are all under maximum attack to the vaccines. We are under hell force attack. This is admitted. Police, military, you are with us. They are killing you. That's why cancer's up several thousand percent. Autism up several thousand percent. Actually, 20,000+. That's why there's all these three-year-olds in my neighborhood dying. That's why hell is upon us, the GMO, all of it. I bring you medical doctor Stan Monteith, who exposed that AIDS was a government bioweapons program decades ago, has all the documents for the rest of this hour. I wanted to preface it with that, Doctor. It is really great to have you up with us.
Well, it's good to be with you, Alex, and I think that quotation you just read from Barbara Marks Hubbard is so important. This was in the original manuscript that she wrote called the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, and she actually went all over the country and giving talks to her disciples. The book was actually, and she admits, channeled to her by a spirit. She called it the Christ spirit. I think it was a demonic spirit. And basically, what prefaced what you just read was Revelation 6:8. And she quoted from Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the rider upon him is death. And any of your readers should go ahead and read Revelation 6:8. And then, of course, she extrapolates, or the demonic force, which is acting through her, extrapolates that, talking about the necessity of killing that one quarter who will not, of course, ascend to the next higher level of development. She's talking about the Christians. And then she concludes, that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. This is one of the most powerful women in America. This is a woman who actually ran for the vice presidency of the United States. I think it was in 1984. She ran against Geraldine Ferraro. Geraldine Ferraro was selected, and of course, fortunately, she didn't become either the vice president or the president. But this is the sort of people you have working within the political process. She thinks nothing wrong with killing a quarter of the population.
And everything is about bringing an end. The death has to happen. Now, she's on the very liberal, loving side of only killing a few billion. The mainline group becoming dominant says total human extermination, that the final globalists will have their head chopped off in a robotic, final execution of humanity. We just read a quote of that earlier, and these people are all in bioweapons development. They're running everything. I don't think the population realizes this is the New World Order, Doctor.
I don't think they do either, because, you see,
Alex, when we talk about the plan, and of course you've been to the Georgia Guidestones, or at least you know the story of the Georgia Guidestones.
It's an endgame.
Georgia, where they talk about eliminating over 90% of the world population. The average listener out there says, this is not logical. No logical person would do that. And you have to agree with them. No logical person would do that. But we're not dealing with logical people. We're dealing with people with a different worldview who would actually destroy humanity. Because
and cults are heavily driven. They're heavily powerful. Wealthy people have always been involved. This is the dominant Luciferian sex cult that's running things. And, I mean, break down who the New World Order is, your book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I mean, boil it down to very simple terms. What are we dealing with? What's their master plan?
We're dealing with a number of secret or semi-secret societies that, of course, have a master plan of creating a one-world government, a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and a one-world leader. And since we list them all in the Brotherhood of Darkness, and then we come up with new ones all the time. I'm constantly amazed how many organizations there are, even beyond those mentioned in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We just came across a group called The Family recently. They put on the annual prayer presidential prayer breakfast. Christians come from all over the country, make large donations to attend the prayer breakfast, put on by a cult called The Family. And believe me, of course, they have an entirely different agenda.
And then you find out that you may have 100 different groups, but there's the 100 leaders are then part of the super group.
Amen to that. But they're all bound together by the spiritual forces that energize them. And if you don't understand that there really are Luciferian forces out there, there really are people who worship the prince of this world and have given themselves over to the dark side, and there is power there. There you are promised wealth and notoriety and fame and power, but in the process you're going to give up your soul. These people actually made a deal with the devil. Knowingly or unknowingly, they've done it. Incidentally, that quotation, the book of the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation by Barbara Marx Hubbard, was eventually republished, a slightly watered-down version, but it was funded by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. The Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. And then you begin to see these occult movement within the Rockefeller family doing everything they can to destroy humanity and civilization.
And they put the sickest face on it. It's beautiful, my darlings, the mass blood and slaughter. Soon, and that's how Bianca talks. I know I'll have to die, me and my family. We're looking forward to the death. It's going to be so beautiful. And then he projects giant skulls and a PowerPoint. And the Texas Academy of Sciences rises for a 3-minute standing ovation with tears. Yes, kill death. Oh! You know, that's the issue. It's not just some isolated nut. And then their weirdo graduate students now working at, bioweapons facilities and other research labs send us emails going, you don't know how beautiful the death will be. I mean, this is like out of a horror movie.
Well, unfortunately, it is a horror movie. And these things are underway today. They are exterminating large numbers of people, but we don't know about that. The AIDS epidemic, as you pointed out at the beginning, we are not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. We're spending a lot of money, but we're not doing what's necessary to stop the spread of this disease.
They only spend the money to institutionalize it and fund the very groups that launched the attacks.
Amen to that. In Botswana today, and we have the statistics that come from the U.S. Commerce Department, where we are actually monitoring the spread of AIDS in Botswana. And one of the most highly developed, best educated nations in all of Africa, a black-controlled population, 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana are now HIV positive, and they're all going to die. Now, that is either the greatest public health failure or the most successful genocide policy we've ever seen. And I would like to suggest, if it was a public health failure, that changed the public health approach, but they haven't.
Stay there, doctor. We got a break. And notice,
okay,
you list these statistics. Wherever you have more of the UN World Health Organization, you magically have more of the AIDS, and then you've got the documents where the U.S. government developed this variant of a cancer virus. I want to get into the Rockefellers and cancer as well. Dr. Stan Monteith, RadioLiberty.com is his website. We're very honored to have him. Aaron will be reading some more quotes as well. Stand by. The rich and the powerful have always believed they were gods. They've always launched wars. same story. The same cancer. They are the cancer. He's saying we're the cancer. They're moving against us now. They are killing us all right now. They are attacking you savagely. Medical doctor Stan Monteith is our guest. Let's recap how AIDS was engineered. And then all these new syndromes, like if they taser thousands to death, they say it's a syndrome that you just die. It's not the taser. Or it's a syndrome that Crohn's goes from, you know, one in hundreds of thousands to now one in 200. And what they're doing, sir, their master plan.
Well, they intend to eliminate a large part of the world's population, and specifically here in the United States, especially the elderly. And, of course, they're using medications, they're using vaccines. And if you analyze what they're doing, for instance, this last week a report came out and said that the influenza vaccine, which their CDC is recommending for every elderly individual, the influenza vaccine really doesn't work. There's no evidence that it helps at all, but you should take it anyway. Now, why would you take a vaccine that doesn't work? Well, because it has mercury in it. They took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, or most of it, but they left it in vaccines that are given to the to children and, of course, to the elderly, and that's the influenza vaccine. It doesn't work. They almost invariably engineer it for the wrong virus, but there's a very definite relationship between of course, Alzheimer's disease and the influenza vaccine.
In fact, doctor, if you just Google, as you know, but you read the actual medical reports, these are prestigious medical journals, major university studies going back for a decade, that one of the big ones is if you get three flu shots, it doubles your chance of Alzheimer's. I mean, they know. This isn't even a theory, is it?
No, it isn't at all. They know exactly what they're doing. The figure is put out by Dr. Pudenberg, who claims that if you take three to four flu shots over a five-year period between 60 and 65, your incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%, goes up tenfold. That's Pudenberg, Pudenberg. You can actually Google that on the internet. If you can't get it, we'll be glad.
Now, see, I was going from memory. I just said double. People think I exaggerate. It's always under. It's never as bad. Doctor, they're now admitting that chemtrails are real, and there's a giant program since 96, exactly when we said it started, to spray aerosols. It's mixed in with the fuel, perfectly compartmentalized. That shows how the doctors don't know what they're doing. The nurses don't know. The guys flying the jets don't know. Can you speak to compartmentalization carrying this out?
Well, all I can say is that the average doctor is really wants to help his patients, but he doesn't get the information that you and I would get from the alternative media. He doesn't have time. He's so busy trying to scrape out a living today, and believe me, the doctor's under tremendous pressure from government. They're cutting back their income. So he has to listen to the detailed man or the detailed woman with the short skirt who comes into their office to tell him how good Vitorin is or some other medication that they've really got to get this for their patients. And the problem is that a lot of these medications are killing people, and the doctors are pushing it. The doctors are pushing vaccines. And I know when I practiced medicine, they said so many times that vaccines were safe and effective, I really believed it. I didn't realize, of course, they put a cancer-producing virus into the polio vaccine. It was grown in the kidney of the green monkey, and the green monkey had, or it was either the green monkey or the rhesus monkey. But anyway, the monkey had all these viruses that were transmitted.
It was both. As you know, Dr. Salk on CBC admitted that they actually used monkeys from previous bioweapons experiments, and then he started laughing.
Well, unfortunately, the majority of the people in our country got a polio vaccine that had a cancer-producing virus in it, and then we wonder why the incidence of cancer is exploding. At the beginning of the last century, in the early 1900s, 1 in 33 people contracted cancer. Today, it's 1 of every 3 women and 1 of every 2 men. And, of course, many of these cancers, when they're analyzed, actually contain the simian 40
virus. Yeah, absolutely. And that's just one vaccine. They found other cancer viruses and many other vaccines that aren't even associated with the production of it. They found the female hormone being added to the tetanus. Sure. Tell folks about that.
Well, basically what they did, and we know they did this in the Philippines and in Kenya, because I've talked to doctors from there, but there's a great deal of evidence they did in other countries. Basically, They would come into the country and they would say, we're from the World Health Organization and we're here to help you. Any woman in the childbearing years would like a free tetanus vaccine so your child doesn't get tetanus. And of course, tetanus does occur rarely in children in third world countries when the women have their child.
Stay there. Let's finish up. Stay there, Doc. Let's come back with what the shot did and then whatever areas of eugenics and the master plan you want to cover are. Okay? You understand, folks? The government is completely evil and they've taken over medicine. We'll be right back. And then I'm throwing so many points backing him up. I mean, there's so many examples of this. Foster children having pesticides and drugs tested on them till they die. Thousands of children being radiated to death in the U.S. and Israel. I mean, this is so massive. This is going on everywhere. And there are so many examples of the eugenics being carried out against free humanity that it boggles the mind. But let's go back to the root of this. Aaron, read a few more quotes before we go back to Dr. Monteith.
I'll let the listeners discern the difference between the intellectual theory and what's actually going on in the world. But here is Bertrand Russell, The Impact of Science on Society, 1953, Complete Examination of the Eugenical Scientific Dictatorship. Quote, I do not pretend that birth control is the only way in which population can be kept from increasing. War has hitherto been disappointing in this respect, but perhaps bacteriological war may prove more effective. If a black death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. The state of affairs might be somewhat unpleasant, but what of that? Really high-minded people are indifferent to happiness, especially other people's. There are three ways of securing a society that shall be stable as regards the population. The first is birth control, second, infanticide or really destructive wars, and the third, that of general misery, except for a powerful minority.
Now, Aaron, earlier before Dr. Monteith joined us, you read all the official Defense Department and PNAC documents where they said we want to use race-specific bioweapons to target certain races, and we need to legitimize this in the media. Dr. Monteith, finish up with, you were talking about AIDS being a U.S. government program. Go through some of that evidence. Go through some of the evidence we were talking about with the tetanus shots with the female hormone added to sterilize them. And then let's get into these race-specific bioweapons, Dr. Monteith, who is a medical doctor.
Well, first of all, what they did with the tetanus vaccine that they gave to women, and we know specifically in Kenya and Philippines, but probably many other third world countries, they put in a chorionotropin, which is a hormone which is necessary a woman secretes when she, of course, becomes pregnant, and it protects the fetus from abortion. Unfortunately, by putting this into a vaccine, the woman became sensitive to it, and of course, when she began to actually got pregnant and the fetus began to produce the chorionotropin, the woman's immune system would destroy that, and so that women could not conceive and become pregnant. This was done as part of a worldwide program, but they can't let the people in the third world countries, or certainly the people in the United States, understand this is what our tax money is being used for. As far as the manufacture of the AIDS epidemic is concerned, there's a wonderful book called Full Disclosure. Full Disclosure, and you can get it on the internet, it's out of print. But of course there, the author has actually talked to a man who was there when they were actually producing, creating the AIDS virus, the HIV virus. Certainly, my good friend Dr. Garth Nicholson, who's one of the world's leading scientists, has written a book, which we do carry, called Project Daylily, and he talks there about how they actually engineered the disease. And of course, it's really not simply HIV. HIV only predisposes people to this. It's a mycoplasm, it's a genetically altered mycoplasm fermentans that does so much of the devastating.
And doctor, I mean, I've seen all the studies, but you're a medical doctor, and we've had epidemiologists on to talk about it, and virologists, but isn't it also predisposed towards people of color? I mean, it can kill any Homo sapien, but isn't HIV designed as the precursor for the other race-specific bioweapons?
Absolutely. I mean, HIV, you know, if you look at the statistics here in the United States, almost, not quite, but almost half of the people with HIV and AIDS who have died have been black. And, of course, the statistics show it has a predisposition for the black and Hispanic, and much
but paid off black leaders won't talk about it. Hispanic leaders won't. They'll just have fake race politics, or did somebody call them the N-word, which you go back to Margaret Sanger in the Colgate letters to the foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation papers. These are public. We actually sent off for them at the different universities saying we can't let the blacks know we want to exterminate them. We've got to hire liberal front blacks. In fact, Aaron has the quotes, but you were trying to explain the numbers that even though you have much larger amounts of whites, just as sexually promiscuous, even with the same control groups, it's harder for a white to get AIDS. Please continue.
Well, basically, they know how to create diseases for specific races. And there's one specific gene, and we don't have it. We white people don't have it, or maybe we only have one of the two that pair.
We don't have the proper couplers for the virus to plug into.
Right. And this is the coupler that is used to attach the HIV virus to the cells. The cells are going to be attacked. So the blacks usually will have both of those genes. Most whites will have either one or none of them. And if you don't have any of the genes, you're not going to get HIV, no matter how promiscuous you are. If you have one of them, you may get it. And this is why certainly almost half of the people here in the United States who have either have HIV or have died are black. This is a race-specific disease. If any of your listeners would like to know more about it, I wrote an article published by the American Journal of Physicians and Surgeons. It was called AIDS, the Unknown Story, and I'd be glad to provide those free of charge. Could I put on my 800 number?
Absolutely. Put that out and also give people your website.
800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. We'll send you free of charge a copy of the article we wrote that goes into the background of the race specificity of HIV disease. They knew what they were doing. Our website, radioliberty.com. But you can read the things certainly on the PNAC website at the Project for the New American Century, something they wrote entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses, where they talk about how they're going to have the ability to have these race-specific diseases, and then they can use it for social purposes. And they've targeted the black, they've targeted the Hispanic, and I share your concern. Alex, why aren't the black leaders talking about that? Because most of them are bought and paid for.
Now, let's go back, and then I want to read some Margaret Sanger quotes here. Let's go back. What was it like for you as a very successful medical doctor, surgeon? What was it like for you as you began to your awakening? I mean, how did you awaken to this and become one of the most prominent and respected people exposing race-specific biowarfare that we're now more than three decades into?
Well, basically, of course, it isn't very good for your practice, but we are always able to survive. There were always doctors out there who would refer to me. I was a specialist in orthopedic surgery, and there were doctors who maybe wouldn't take a stand themselves, but they'd back me. So I was able to survive. But there is so much to this story. We've written a book called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, totally blacked out by the media every time we, of course, get it. Listed, in the national list of books in print, why somebody came along and take it out. But we were able to get, I think, almost 30,000 copies of that book out across America. People have to understand the last thing that the wicked people want is for the people, American people, to wake up and understand the genocidal programs underway that have targeted them and their children, but specifically the blacks and Hispanics.
Continue, though. Why does the New World Order, Dr. Monteef, why does the New World Order want to kill so many people? We know it has a religious base. It also has this eugenic scientific rationale. Why do they want this?
Basically, because they are carrying out the prophecies of the Book of Revelation. You read Revelation 6:8, they tell you they're going to kill a quarter of the population. And then, of course, you go on, and they're going to kill billions more. And people have to really understand, these people are deadly serious. They are trying to bring to pass the horror that is described in the Revelation, because they think that is going to bring their leader to power.
And we have a bunch of TV viewers right now, because we just went live 10 minutes ago for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, and later this will be all over the web. Earlier we read what the special forces are taught, what vice presidential candidates and people have pushed. the First Earth Battalion and the rest of it about how their job is to exterminate the majority of the population, you know, how this is their goal. So for folks out there watching, get into some of that, Dr. Monteith, and then we're going to read a few quotes for people out there watching.
Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, patriotic people, get into Special Forces and do not realize once they get in, they're going to be indoctrinated, you know, into the occult, and there are strong occult forces within the American Special Forces, just as there were within the SS over in Hitler's Germany. The SS was the cult organization, and even though many people get join the military and get into these specialized organizations, they are certainly indoctrinated in these occult concepts. I just hope that they're not accepting them. I hope that we have enough people in the military who love America and realize their loyalty is to our country and our Constitution, not to the wicked people who've seized control of our government and are using people like Barbara Marks Hubbard and other occult individuals. In fact, they even have divisions within our military that are into remote viewing. They're into, you know, trying to get out this.
Well, I've actually had Major General Stubblebine, who now is anti-New World Order. He said he never saw the master plan. He was also the head of Army Intelligence before that. And he said, yeah, they were into the occult. They were commanded to go in and do this. They're now making a major movie with George Clooney about it. But that the higher ups told them go, and then now he's, you know, now he says it's a eugenics plan, a worldwide extermination plan, that even as the commander of Army Special Forces, who was in there training them in the occult, he was just following orders and didn't see the big plan.
I'm sure this is absolutely true, and I will tell you, you know, if you analyze, I mean, the ability to actually remote view, to actually have these supernatural experiences, to be able to have your body taken over and somebody else speak to it, it would be totally intriguing for somebody unless they understood that we are told in the Bible specifically to avoid the mediums and the fortune tellers and certainly the people who are into spiritualism and the supernatural. I mean, it is intriguing. An awful lot of people get into it without ever realizing, of course, the power does not come from the God we worship, but from the prince of this world.
And notice, they'll always put flowery terms and love and peace is coming, and this wonderful utopia is coming, but first we've got to kill billions.
And that is what seems so incredible. But, you know, it's sort of like people who accepted communism. They honestly believe that all we have to do is kill enough people, and eventually we'll change mankind, and then this world utopia will come. And, of course, they were lied to. Communism is only a transitional step towards what we're really up against now. And we are up against powerful spiritual forces that are working through a number of organizations trying to destroy our belief in God and in family and country. And basically, these are the people who have control of the reins of power in the United States and are using the military and financial power of the United States.
Now, I want to be clear, Doctor.
The world government.
Yeah, and I want you to talk about world government, but to be clear, we've got a lot of atheists and agnostics listening. Even if you don't believe in spiritualism or God, the devil, dark and light, any of that, it is a scientific fact that the elite world system, the technological control grid, the technological, you know, worldwide enslavement system, is New World Order controlled. They are into the occult. Their goal is to get world government so they can kill the majority of us. That is in official State Department documents, official British documents. It's in all their publications. God help us, folks. They are spraying poison in the skies, the water, the food. It's all coming out now. And I wanted Aaron to read some more eugenics quotes, and then we'll go back to Dr. Monteith. Read some more of those, Aaron.
Yeah, I guess I'll go over some Margaret Sanger quotes here, a lot of which I read yesterday. No woman shall have the legal right to bear a child without a permit for parenthood. This was part of the American Baby Code she tried to have passed as law.
And now that's being proposed. China did it. Now it's being sold here that you'll get tax breaks if you don't have more than one child.
Yeah, Nazi Germany did it too.
But remember, and the CPS taking kids, Nazi Germany, England, the U.S., social workers were founded for this Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement covers it. Continue.
Well, yeah, people get into the debate because it's so contentious. Was Margaret Sanger a killer? Was she racist? Did she want to kill all these people? Well, you could see the racism in the system. She was Rockefeller-funded. So was German Nazi eugenics, Rockefeller-funded. I think you could see the racism in the whole system and the intent to kill, regardless of if this individual said that in her quotes or not, which she did, of course. She referred to people as weeds and said they should be exterminated.
Yeah, where's a quote about we can't let the blacks know we want to exterminate them?
Well, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, but that's my point. You could see it in the larger system. We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social services backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And if the minister is the man who could straighten out that idea, if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. She wrote in 39 to Clarence Gamble of Procter & Gamble. And, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. There were a lot of black leaders who were sort of into the idea of, you know, making the race kind of better quality than over quality.
No, no, they certainly are. They were on the payroll. Let's go back to Dr. Monteith, Doctor. That's why the black leaders and Hispanic leaders, they'll let the Mexicans wave Mexican flags all day. You just take that shot, baby. You know, their Mexican leaders won't tell them that, will they, Doc?
No, they certainly won't. And the tragedy is that there really are people who have this white supremacist attitude, and I have to be white, but certainly I believe every person is made in the image and likeness of God, whether they're black or yellow or red or white. But the people who are involved in this really are followers of a woman named Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, and she really believed in the superiority of the Aryan race. And it was her writings, specifically in The Secret Doctrine.
The Theosophic Society, Hitler followed her.
Absolutely. In fact, that's why Hitler embraced these Aryan superiority concepts, because he was a disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. And simply in every major city in America today, there's a metaphysical bookstore.
And you'll always have the liberals, and then you'll confront them with Margaret Sanger, or you'll confront them with Blavatsky, and they'll kind of get you aside and go, "That's right, you son of a bitch, and we're going to get you soon." You know, they'll have this friendly little, nice, but behind the scenes, it's, "We've got to exterminate the blacks and the Mexicans." I mean, you know, it's like social services, break up their families, get them in the inner cities, and the blacks are just dancing right into the gas chambers, basically.
Well, you know, basically, of course, there's so many ways that the blacks are under attack today. Statistics show that if you're a young black man between the age of 21 and 31, 1 in every 3 is either in probation or parole or in prison. I mean, how could you possibly do something like that? Well, I'll tell you how they could do it. It is through water fluoridation. And there's a man back at Dartmouth named Roger Masters. He's into psychology and why do people act the way they did. And actually, he's written, and he's a wonderful guest. If you can ever get him on, I'm sure he'd be a good guest for you. But basically, he found that, and there are studies, which he quotes extensively, that in the areas where they fluoridate the water and they use hydrofluorosilicic acid, that's used in 90 to 95% of the communities where they do water fluoridation. And, of course, the hydrofluorosilicic acid contains lead, arsenic, polonium-220, and fluoride. It is a waste product. It's a deadly poison. Actually, they have to have specially lined trucks to truck it into your community to fluoridate your water. But in the areas where they did that, and then they measured the level of lead in the blood of children, why they found that black children had 6 times the level of lead.
Stay there. We're going to skip this break right now for the InfoWars.com streams and PrisonPlanet.tv members. Everybody else will be right back. Now, Doc, this is the big issue, is that it is a fact that the Germans and the Soviets put it in the water. It's in Pulitzer Prize-winning books. They knew what it would do, and that's the point. That's why the head dentist who got Canada fluoridated, as you know, for 10 years has been apologizing. He thought it was calcium fluoride they were putting in. No, it is this Grignard heavy metal byproduct of aluminum and fertilizer purification, as you know, but for the audience. And they put it in the water with the heavy metals, so it's not just the fluoride, it's the lead. Please continue for the viewers out there.
All right. Well, it's important that people understand that, according to Roger Masters at Dartmouth, when they've checked, and they did this on 450,000 children. They wanted to be sure what a good job they were doing. They did this on 450,000 children. They did finger sticks. They measured the level of lead in the blood. And if you were black, your level of lead in the blood went up 6 times. Hispanic, 4 times. White, it doubled. Now, why is that significant? Because lead causes a pathological behavior. It causes rage and anger and criminal behavior. And it is the lead intoxication of the vast majority of blacks in our country that is leading, of course, to this black, criminal activity.
And by the way, they knew this. They knew this in 1800, 1805. Napoleon, they would give less aggressive troops a tincture of lead, saying it got the blood up and made them more aggressive. So again, a lot of this has been known for hundreds of years.
And they're doing this to the blacks in America today. And the fact that most people have never heard of this, we do have interviews, several interviews with Roger Masters. It's so vitally important. If you care about your black brothers and sisters and your Hispanic brothers and sisters, understand they're poisoning them with water, with water fluoridation. They know exactly
what they're doing. They've done studies. Magically, the cities are diverting stronger fluoridated areas to worse parts of town. I mean, folks, this is so diabolical. We just want to warn people. But instead, the Mexicans want to run around waving Mexican flags, screaming, we're going to get La Reconquista. Your leaders, your foundation-owned La Raza, Mecha, and others aren't going to tell you. We are going to tell you. Unbelievable.
And I think it's so important that the people in La Raza and Mecha they understand that these organizations are funded by the Ford Foundation. And Henry Ford was involved with theosophy. And, of course, with this whole satanic movement, that's why they're doing what they're doing. And we could find similar connections to the Carnegie Foundation.
And that's how people get confused. That's how they get confused. I want to talk about that in the final segment. But, Doc, is there a time schedule when I can get you for 2 hours here on the show?
Oh, sure there is, but not today. I'm flying out in just a
couple of hours. I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
Next week would love to be with you.
I'm going to have Trey's back in Monday. I'm going to have him call you 2 hours next week. We got five final minutes. Here we go. For those that weren't listening on the InfoWars.com streams on the AM and FM dial, he went into how the blacks have five times the lead, Hispanics 3 to 4 times what whites do. They're pumping it directly into you through the sodium fluoride preparation. Now, this is an absolute fact. Understand, you're under attack. Bayer puts the AIDS virus in your shots. It's mainstream news. People, oh, that's not true. You think I'd be on the air? You think they'd sue me if that wasn't true? You're under attack. I know it's scary. Folks, every night I have to deal with them that they may kill me. They're threatening to kill me and my family. I still go on air because I have a responsibility, if I know this, to warn you. They fund your Mecha, your La Raza, your NAACP. That's how they control the Republicans. All this stupid Republican-Democrat diversion. There is a worldwide eugenic state waging war against us all. Dr. Monteith, closing information about the New World Order, other attack patterns they're launching on us.
Well, I fear very much that they're laying it's open for a nuclear war with the Muslim world. That gets into the Sybil Edmonds story, the Tinder files. And, of course, you can get that on the Internet. Just Google in Sybil Edmonds and the Tinder files, and you'll find that there is a spy ring operating at the highest levels of our government with the full knowledge of the people who control our State Department, the FBI. And they're funneling all sorts of nuclear technology and nuclear material they need to build nuclear weapons.
Now, again, I wouldn't call it, because we have FBI agents saying it's like Al-Qaeda ran the FBI. It's not like that is it. You know, they call it rogue elements, but these are the real capstones of the pyramidal power structures.
They're not allowed, of course, to investigate or reveal this. But the significance, I think everybody's really missed, why would we be funneling nuclear information to build nuclear weapons to the Pakistanis? It's very obvious they want a nuclear war, and that'll really be a wonderful, wonderful way for population control. I hate to even consider this, but this is absolutely what's in
store. Why do you think the West snuck attacked Russia 3 weeks ago?
Well, this was the stupidest thing in the world, unless, of course, you want to draw Russia and China into a war with America. People say it can't happen. I think it's going to happen, and I think if God is just, he's going to bring judgment on this nation.
We got some bold people. They'll fly remote control airplanes into the towers, folks. They're not playing games. That's one thing about these Luciferians, Doctor. They are bold, aren't they?
They certainly are. And, of course, they are succeeding because the good people are not taking a stand. And God is allowing this to happen. But one of these days he's going to intervene. And I tremble for my country when I consider what's going to happen.
Doc, let's look at your book right now here live on air. I think I got two big guests next week, so there's a low chance I'm going to move you. One day is blocked out, but I'm not sure. What day next week you want to do 2 hours? I'm live 11 to...
I have the slightest idea. Just have Trey give me a call. We'll be glad to to get something with
right.
him.
But. I want to do a whole hour on eugenics and a whole thing on the Sybil Edmonds and the nukes. Dr. Monteith, RadioLiberty.com. Thanks for spending time with us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. God bless. Thanks so much, Alex.
You bet. Thank you. Before I end this segment and come back with Mark Stepnosky, we'll have him on at the Ed After, actually. I want Aaron to finish some quotes. Just please get Fabled Enemies. It gets into the things he was just talking about, Sybil Edmonds, the intelligence networks. At the top, foreign intelligence agencies, U.S., British, and Israeli, but they're sold out to the global system, sit at the highest levels. Continuity of government in this nation is run by multinationals. It's private. There's been a corporate takeover of our government. First they federalize, then they take over the federal government. Through continuity of government systems. They do it in Brazil, they do it in England, they do it in Germany, they do it in the U.S. This is how they rule, and Fabled Enemies covers all of that and how they carry out the attacks. You're like, what are you doing going toe-to-toe against these people? They're already spraying us and killing us. I mean, might as well, the last act of defiance here. My uncle has a T-shirt with a mouse with a hawk flying in to eat him, and the mouse is going like that. The last act of defiance. I think we should have a debate about being exterminated and being soft killed. I think we should have a discussion about it. And that's all. I'm just saying, well, they're killing us. I think you sheep should wake up and have a discussion about our fate. Aaron's got some final points he wants to make on this. We could spend every show, every minute on this. This is what governs the world. This is the reality. This is what we're dealing with. We are being soft killed. We're being studied, poisoned, tested, mixtures of poisons, how to dumb us down, how to psychologically control us, how to kill us, how to get us out of the way. Before I go back to Aaron and then Mark Stepnosky, New Vitality Aloe Ease Colon Cleanse. Before I go back to Aaron, I just want everybody to check out Aloe Ease Colon and Body Cleanse. They are just great folks. Their phone number is 1-800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056, or you can simply go to newvitality.com. They have hundreds of great products, but that's just one of them that detoxifies and cleans you out. They also have Super Beta Prostate, a very well-known, high-quality combination of herbs and things that shrink the prostate. Men over 45 really need this. 1-800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056. You can also check out another one of our fine sponsors. Now, that is Acola Blue, and Acola Blue is acolablue.com. They are an atmospheric water generator for the home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air. Machine produces up to 28 liters or 7.5 gallons a day. This is a pretty amazing system, folks, when you realize that you can grab it right out of the air, and that it has no fluoride, none of the stuff they self-medicate you or forcibly medicate you with. Acola Blue, ecoloblue.com, big banner up on Infowars.com, or 866-585-4044. By the way, they sold out of these and just got more in. We sold the company out. You did, the listeners. 866-585-4044, 1-866-585-4044, acolablue.com. Okay, Aaron, you got about 2-3 minutes left. I want to go back to Aaron now. Aaron, finish up with your other points on eugenics.
I was going to rapid fire a Margaret Sanger quote and then finally a Richard Dawkins quote. Margaret Sanger, the most merciful thing a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race. Eugenic sterilization is an urgent need. We must prevent multiplication of this bad stock. Eugenics is the most adequate and thorough avenue to solution of racial, political, and social problems. And then Richard Dawkins has this kind of open thought of What if eugenics came back? In the 1920s and 1930s, scientists from both the political left and right would not have found the idea of designer babies particularly dangerous, though of course they would not have used that phrase. Today, I suspect that the idea is too dangerous for comfortable discussion, and my conjecture is that Adolf Hitler is responsible for the change. Nobody wants to be caught agreeing with that monster, even in a single particular. The specter of Hitler has led some scientists to stray from ought to is and deny that breeding for human qualities is even possible. But if you can breed cattle for milk, horses for speed, dogs for skill, why shouldn't you breed humans for mathematical, musical, or athletic ability? I wonder, some 60 years after Hitler's death, why we might at least venture to ask what the moral difference is between breeding for musical ability.
And the problem is, with breeding, you're talking about exterminating most of the puppies or kittens that are born. You're talking about the state having this incredible control. And in special breeds, you get more mental illness, more inherited diseases, and the elites that interbred, most of their children were born retarded or had serious mental illness problems. But do they give up this system of control? No, they've only intensified it down throughout the last 100-plus years. And now they're practicing their eugenics upon us through the vaccines, through the chemtrails, through the entire system. Aaron, I want to have you back up in a couple of weeks again for a whole nother discussion and other areas of eugenics, because this is the governing system, the ideology of the New World Order. We've got a special guest coming up after the break. A lot of key videos and things from what happened in Denver with the MSNBC staff attacking us is going up on YouTube later. That'll be up on InfoWars.com. The Rage Against the Machine concert being attacked by police, that's going up on InfoWars. InfoWars.com, and Fabled Enemies being censored by Google, that is now up on InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've got one of the most famous linemen in NFL history, Mark Stepnoski, on with us. Pro career in the NFL. Most of it spent with the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Oilers. He won two Super Bowls while with the Cowboys and was a five-time Pro Bowler. And he is a 9/11 truther. We had him on almost a year ago. It was a long time ago. Time just flies by. It seems like yesterday. He also campaigns for the legalization of marijuana, the decriminalization. You got 80%+ of drug users only use marijuana. They need to keep it that way so that they need to keep it illegal so they can SWAT team raid more people and fill more prisons, while the government has been caught hundreds of times shipping in heroin and cocaine and laundering the money. Did you know it's legal for foreign drug money to be invested in the New York Stock Exchange? And the former head, Richard Grasso, when he was head of the New York Stock Exchange, was in Reuters going to the FARC, communist guerrillas, and saying, invest your cocaine money with us. I'm going off on a rant here about the decriminalization of marijuana. They need to keep it illegal because, what is it, 86-87% of people only smoke marijuana that use illegal drugs. George Washington smoked it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is an excuse. What's a greater crime? Guys in black masks squat teaming you at 3 a.m. or somebody smoking marijuana? You know, do we want this great evil in the name of stopping this minor evil? And I'm not a marijuana person. I've smoked marijuana, and it's just not my cup of tea. But I know a lot of people that do smoke it, a lot of doctors and lawyers and people, and they don't need to be SWAT teamed. Mark Stepnoski, I really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Thanks, Alex. It's good to be on with you today.
You're going to be with us for the next 50 minutes. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to open the phones up at 1-800-259-9231. In the last 10 months or so since you were on with us, a lot has happened. Top Italian former presidents, German defense ministers, Japanese diet members, the best actress. So many prominent people have gone public for 9/11 Truth. Give us your take on the evolution of it and why 9/11 Truth is so important, why you took the step of speaking out, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's great to see, you know, like you said, as time goes on, more and more people are coming forward as they gradually become aware of the facts. Obviously, you know, through online research and through the amount of books and magazines that have come out now, you know, enough authors have come forward, stated their opinion. And I think what's really important now is, you know, obviously, people early on, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, were kind of pigeonholed as conspiracy theorists. But now, that label, it never did apply, but it's less applicable now than ever, simply because the people who are coming out in favor of 9/11 truth are too credible to ignore. You know, in the last few years, we've had the formation of things like Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which includes architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, pilots for 9/11 Truth. We have former people who worked in government, including the current administration, who are coming out and saying that they don't believe the official story. So it's just a case of, you know, as more people become exposed to it, as the media blackout in mainstream media continues, mostly via the internet, people are becoming connected and becoming aware of these facts and voicing their opinion. It's very encouraging to see. You know, it's never too late for anybody who feels strongly about this issue to come forward and voice their opinion, because I think as time goes on, people will be surprised to find out that if they are no longer worried about expressing their skepticism of the official story regarding 9/11, they will find out that there are a lot of people out there, you might refer to them as a silent majority, who also feel very much the same way. They are either too afraid or too reluctant to come forward and also express their doubts in the official story.
What made you go public? I mean, what made you to? I mean, you were one of the first prominent sports figures to go public. I mean, now Willie Nelson's gone public. Jesse Ventura's gone public. I mean, it's just exponential. But what made you decide to take that leap?
I just. I got tired of waiting for the channels of government to move along in a proper fashion. Like a lot of people, I had hope. It turns out to be false hope in retrospect, but I had hope at the time that, maybe the 9/11 Commission would be legitimate. The safeguards that are in place in constitutional government, I thought that they would kick in and operate in the manner in which they're supposed to, and we would see a proper investigation, with relevant witnesses and evidence. And as we all know, none of that really came to fruition. The 9/11 Commission was a sham. It was a cover-up. It was a modern-day version of the Warren Commission as far as its attempt to silence witnesses and suppress truth tellers. And, when things reached that point and that commission was shown to be the impotent vehicle that it was, I just felt compelled to, in my own small way, say whatever I could as far as what I thought the truth was.
Well, Mark, that isn't in your own small way. It's not just that you're a celebrity or a well-known sports figure. It's that people resonate with the courage of a Willie Nelson or a Mark Stepnoski or a former German defense minister or a former governor. They resonate and they know that person has a lot to lose. That person's going to be demonized. This person is really stepping up. And so that's what makes you and so many others that have stood up and gone public heroes. But look at the vindication. The Chicago Tribune 4 months ago reported, as well as Associated Press, the NSA declassified that Israel did attack the USS Liberty to try to sink it, to blame it on Egypt to start World War III, as they've now tried, the U.S. has tried in Georgia. It's now come out, Cy Hirsch at a big media event, and he did admit in New Yorker magazine that Cheney, he just said a staged provocation. He said, this is the provocation to have U.S. Navy SEALs dressed up like Iranians on blue PT boats attack U.S. ships in the Strait of Hormuz. So government-sponsored terror, the fact that Gulf of Tonkin was staged, that's all coming out now. And people say, well, that was 7 years ago, 9/11. Why are you so concerned? Well, because Black Ops is going to continue to stage terror attacks as a pretext for control if we don't step up and expose that they're behind it. Mark, your comments on that.
Yeah, I entirely agree. It's been a steady progression. It's been just one incident after another. We saw last year where Bush and Tony Blair had the plan to send U.S. military planes over Iran disguised as UN planes to try and instigate an attack on them so we would be justified in responding. I remember also last year Zbigniew Brzezinski appearing in the press, practically coming right out and saying, you know, we had to worry about the current administration putting together a false flag terror op to stimulate war with Iran. This is a guy who is now Barack Obama's main foreign policy advisor. So again, we have these people coming out, you know, in mainstream media within the last year with these, you know, scenarios that have come and gone that have involved false flag terror. So I just think in this day and age, people are becoming a little bit too hip to what's going on. They understand ahead of time. Similar to what happened in Spain when you had the false flag terror attack there with the train.
The people within days came out in the hundreds of thousands and said, "We know you did it." And it turned out it was the intelligence operation.
Exactly. Hopefully, we are reaching that point now in North America. You know, so if you call it critical mass or whatever you want to, but hopefully through, you know, the work that you do and statements made by 9/11 truthers like myself and the many others around the world. You know, we have people, a politician in Japanese parliament came out wanting to have another investigation. We're having a march in Canada to Ottawa to culminate on September 11th, where they're going to present a petition at Parliament Hill for a new 9/11 investigation in Canada. So I think, you know, worldwide, you are seeing people come around and, you know, waking up to the fact that this was a false flag operation, you know, to have a certain effect on the American public. The question now is, you know, are the people who live in America going to be smart enough to look into the right sources of information to kind of emancipate themselves from this media blackout that's going on? I think if people, you know, continue to turn off their TVs, give less credence to mainstream media, corporate media, and instead, you know, read online, read books, read magazines, anything out there that's going to give the true story of 9/11 truth. This is what's going to mobilize the population in America so that when another false flag terrorist attack occurs, whatever it is, whether it's bioterror, whether it's a mini nuke somewhere, people will see it for what it is and not be railroaded into a certain mindset like they were after 9/11.
We're talking to Super Bowl champion, two-time Mark Stepnoski, five-time Pro Bowler. And he's, again, going public, not because it's fun, but because it's his duty. And I would venture to say, because he just said it, he knows that if we don't expose the tool of false flag, that mechanism, this military-industrial complex is going to keep doing it to hurt us. Just like in England, how they hunt pheasants. They beat pots and pans. They have beaters who push the birds out in a wedge so the hunters can shoot them when they get driven out. And it's the same thing. You want to attack Iran, you want to attack Iraq, you stage an event. You want to attack Egypt, you stage an event. They've been caught over and over, and they're going to continue to do this if we don't expose it. And that's why the courage of now thousands of prominent people that have gone public for 9/11 truth, and now all these architects and engineers and physicists, is unstoppable. We're going to come back and talk about the fraudulent new NIST report with Mark Stepnoski, and then we're going to take your phone calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Two-time Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys, also played with the Oilers, five-time Pro Bowler, Mark Stepnoski on the line. I remember sitting around watching the Cowboys play and rooting for Mark, and now I'm rooting for him in a much more important way, and that is his courage speaking out for 9/11 truth. There's ballot initiative in New York to get a new investigation going or expose that, a grand jury. There's a lot of different initiatives. There's marches going on, events coming up in New York next week that I hope folks go to. And let's talk about that ballot initiative first, and then I want to get into the NIST report, Mark.
Yeah, obviously, you know, since we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, there's a lot of activities going around to highlight the fact that the official story is untrue. One of those is in New York City. It's a 9/11 ballot initiative. This is a way for, I mean, it's obvious that, like I said earlier, that we're not going to get a proper investigation through government channels. But this is a way for the people of New York City to create a new 9/11 commission, an investigation of the events, which would have subpoena power. It would have some legal authority. Volunteers in New York City have been going around getting signatures on petitions. They needed a minimum of 30,000, which they just recently achieved. So that was great news. And now these petitions will be submitted to the New York City clerk and New York City Council. And with a sufficient amount of signatures, this being above 30,000, they will be able to present this, and then it can become an issue, a topic on the ballot. I believe it would be part of the 2009 ballot for mayor, the election of mayor in New York City, where citizens can vote for themselves. They can make their voices heard that they think it is necessary as citizens of that city, as voters of New York City, to demand a new investigation, one that actually has some teeth.
Absolutely. And it shouldn't just be New York. We need lots of grand jury, you know, type public investigations, both governmental, non-governmental, to draw this out publicly and continue to expose it. Everything is a step, to use a football analogy, you know, for more yards to get a new set of downs towards the touchdown, bringing these criminals to justice. And even if we never bring them to quote, justice by sending them to prison, by publicly convicting them in the court of public opinion and by educating the public about false flag terrorism, it breaks that tool that the black ops continue to use. Mark, your take on that?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's all a question of, you know, just mobilizing the masses. I think a lot of people fall into a defeatist attitude of, you know, what can I do? How can I make a difference? I'm only one person. Well, just by signing that petition, just by signing your name on that piece of paper, you are, in effect, saying, look, I don't believe in what the government is telling me. I don't believe the lies that I'm being told in corporate media. You know, I demand a new investigation. This is one way for people to have their voice heard, people who otherwise might feel powerless. There's a lot of people in New York City. If a lot of them mobilize, it might be surprising what could actually happen. But, you know, I urge listeners of your show who either live in New York City or have family or friends there to let them know about this. They can look it up on www.nyc911initiative.org and find out anything they would like to about this movement. But I think that, you know, right now it's moving along very nicely, and should it succeed in any degree, it'll be a big step forward. It really could be a breakthrough.
Yeah. And a lot of people have this loser mentality of, oh, we'll never beat corruption. Oh, there's no point. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a choice, number one. Number two, we're actually having an effect. The majority of Americans in major polls believe there's a 9/11 cover-up. There's hundreds of these polls. We're having an effect. Look how far we've come from myself 2 months before the attack saying, I think they're going to attack the World Trade Center and blame it on their asset, Bin Laden, because I saw them preparing the public, introducing Bin Laden. I knew their past history. I knew the FBI had cooked the bomb, trained the driver, given them the detonators, blocked local police in 93. With the first attack, I mean, again, look how far we've come from 9/11 that first day. Look how far we've come, thanks to people like Mark Stepnoski, Willie Nelson, Governor Ventura, Stephen Jones. Now, I'm going to skip this break for InfoWars.com, listeners. For everybody else, we'll be back in 3 minutes, but because I don't want to waste any time that we've got with Mark Stepnoski today. But, Mark, that NIST report, they delayed it 3 years. The people on the government NIST board are involved in explosive thermite research. They're experts. They're involved in government contracts. And then they had to pull back. They had to say, okay, our last 5 reasons for the towers falling and Building 7 falling are wrong. It's not fuel oil tank. It's not bad building construction. It's not fires. It's not... No, they gave a new reason, a new syndrome, a new phenomenon. We're going to cover that right now with Mark Stepnoski. Stay with us. Okay, we're going to go ahead and skip that break, Mark. A few stations won't hear us, but I don't want to waste any time, and this will have a life of its own on the web. I mean, the NIST report now says thermal expansion did it. A new phenomenon never before seen in three buildings in a row. They're now saying you may not even need a controlled demolition of a building. Just go light a few small fires. I mean, they're having to re-engineer reality, and insurance companies are having to change their whole view just to fit with something that never before happened. Just like they've had thousands of taser deaths worldwide, they've now announced they believe it's a syndrome that the taser scares the person and makes them have a heart attack, Mark. I mean, now the BS, like claiming Russia attacked Georgia 3 weeks ago when it's admitted that the U.S.-backed Georgians attacked first. I mean, we're entering like an Alice in Wonderland. The propaganda is getting so crazy. Can you comment on that?
No question. I mean, we are living in Orwell's world now, where language has been entirely manipulated. You know, language has become, at least politically and in the media and news, we've seen language become a tool of obfuscation. You know, it's been used to just confuse people. It's been used, you know, these slogans that the Republican Party comes up with. It's just a bastardization of the language. You know, it's obviously with this NIST report, you can see them in full damage control mode. You know, it's obvious they've been stonewalling for years now. They're forced to release something. They have to come up with the least harebrained thing they can think of. And even that carries no weight whatsoever. You know, anybody who wants to, obviously you can listen to Stephen Jones, who's talked about thermite in the buildings. They can listen to a guy, Richard Gage, who is an architect for 9/11 Truth. You know, you can get an entire scientific rundown of why the government's explanation is so far-fetched, it's unbelievable. I mean, really, what they're asking us to believe, it's exactly what you said. They expect us to discount every law of physics that we've ever learned or that's ever existed, and somehow just accept with blind faith these new theories they come out with that have absolutely no credibility whatsoever.
Well, I think it's brought them into a trap, and I want you to speak to this. I think it's brought them into a trap now, because all these other mainline physicists, architects, engineers are going, wait a minute, and now they're looking at the NIST report, and it's becoming like a Copernicus or a Galileo court debate, and other scientists are now looking, going, wait a minute, new phenomenon, new, you know, 1,500-degree fires, do what only 2,800 would do, and wait, you know, the aerial photos from NASA do show 3,000 you know, degrees, 2,600 degrees. They're like, wait a minute. So in a way, they're claiming physics has changed, is widening the debate and backfiring on them. I want you to comment on that. We're coming back live to the full audience. Here we go. Mark Stepnoski, we're bringing up the NIST report and how they've had to change how physics works. And so a lot of scientists and physicists and architects that weren't involved and didn't believe it was an inside job are now looking, going, you're saying jet fuel made 2,600 degree pockets of stuff 5 weeks later, thousands of degrees hotter? I mean, NIST coming out and saying now small fires bring down steel buildings is changing everything. Mark, continue.
Yeah, this coincides with the Bush administration's technique from day one. They have actively sought to discredit science and to really argue with scientific belief. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's the EPA, the FDA, whatever it is. You know, there's been an active warfare on the part of the Bush administration against science. And this is another clear-cut example of that.
Well, it's like marijuana. They know marijuana doesn't kill one person a year. It's a miracle drug with thousands of patented, real things it does for cancer, glaucoma. But they're still SWAT-teaming people every day where I live looking for marijuana.
Absolutely. No matter how much evidence you present, no matter how authoritative that evidence is, no matter who it comes from, as far as, you know, credible scientific or medical establishments, it will just be written off by propaganda. You know, it really is an info war. You can present any kind of factual evidence you want to support your theory. But again, you know, corporate media, the Republican or Democratic Party, they'll just write it off with propaganda.
But that and is starting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but that is what we are seeing right now. It was just another by this NIST report trying to come out and explain why something that's never happened before did happen, namely three steel buildings collapsing because of fire in one day. They do have to stretch the realms of reality. You know, they do have to contradict science and offer an alternative view, which is completely bogus, which is why I'm glad to see that people with people who are experts, people, you know, whose backgrounds are in this field are coming forward and saying, look, you guys are just straining any credibility you have here to the breaking point. We can't accept this. The only thing is, you know, these are things that's coming out in scientific journals and academic papers that are peer-reviewed. These are not things that appear on the evening news or are going to be on a front-page headline.
You know, that's a great point. First they said, like 3 or 4 years ago, oh, let's see some studies. And then they did studies. Let's see them be peer-reviewed. Then a couple of them get peer-reviewed by major peer-reviewed, I mean, not just side journals, big marquee, you know, Super Bowl-level journals. We're talking the big ones, you know, the most prestigious. And then they try to write that off. I mean, we keep clearing every hurdle, Mark, and the other side is just looking stupider and stupider.
And I believe that NIST itself is part of the executive branch, correct?
Yes, yes.
So there we see another example. You know, just like the Office of National Drug Control Policy is part of the executive branch, and they are the ones who constantly spew forth misinformation about the drug war. We have NIST, which is also an executive branch administration, you know, leading the charge about the lies regarding 9/11.
Well, like you said, though, more and more people are tuning out of mainstream media. It's exponential. And instead of them reporting some of the truth or trying to act more credible, it seems like they're getting more shrill, more cartoonish, more ridiculous, piling lie on top of lie. I don't know what the tactic is there, but it doesn't seem to be working, Mark.
Well, it reminds me of the old quote about, and I can't remember who said it, but it's just the old quote about truth coming out, you know, First, when you are a truth teller, you know, in this age of universal deceit that we live in, where those of us are trying to commit a revolutionary act by telling the truth, you know, it becomes evident that, you know, we will be attacked. That's the first method. Actually, the first method is to be written off and ridiculed, and that was the case early on after September 11th.
Yes.
We were all pigeonholed as conspiracy theorists, and we were out of our minds. So that was the ridicule. Then you had the vicious attacks. You know, now that it's becoming obvious that, you know, the 9/11 truth movement is based on truth and facts and evidence, we are being maliciously attacked.
Yes, and that's...
And then, mm-hmm. You know, I just want to follow up by, again, with that famous quotation, the third stage of the truth being accepted is that people will accept it. So I think now we are in the second stage. You know, those first few years we were attacked and vilified. I'm sorry, we were ridiculed. Now we are being attacked and vilified. Hopefully we are coming close to that third stage where there will be mass acceptance of this truth and people won't be afraid to put aside their cognitive dissonance and step out and accept this new paradigm of reality that we all have to see around us.
Oh, beautifully put. And that's really it. I don't blame a lot of people who don't want to look at the facts, because every night when I go to bed and I look at how innocent my children are, I look how good my wife is, and I just think, God, there are really evil people in this world, and they really are in control, and I've really gotten their face, and man, I've been threatened, and this is dangerous. But then I realize, you know, I just can't let the world go on like this. I've got to do my job, whether it has an effect or not. But the truth is, when good people do get involved, I believe, as Thomas Jefferson said, you know, that we can overturn evil. It's evil only wins when good and men and women do nothing. And you're right. First, they ignore you, then they attack you, then you win. And that's basically what's happening now. And there's another quote I'm butchering, but paraphrasing. But, you know, truth goes through three stages. First, it's, laughed at, then it's ridiculed, then it's accepted as, you know, universally true. And people who said the world was round were laughed at, and now we know it's round, Mark.
Well, yeah, and just, you know, for me personally, you know, again, I think we should all just do what we can. You know, different people have different amounts of time, different resources, be they financial or whatever. But I just felt personally, as an American citizen, it was my duty to speak out. You know, I was asked to do a newspaper article for my hometown. And it was just one of those deals, where are they now? What are they doing now that they're retired? And I just, again, I felt compelled to at least let people in Erie, Pennsylvania, my hometown, who read the paper, know that somebody who came from there doesn't believe in the official story of 9/11 and, you know, wholeheartedly believes that they, too, should seek out the truth for themselves.
What type of response? I mean, I know overwhelmingly it was positive, but what type of negative responses did you get? And then what was it like with your moral courage to go through that and not recant?
Well, the reaction overwhelmingly was positive. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time in my hometown anymore, and you know, I know that there were people who wrote in letters saying, you know, what's wrong with this guy? He's way out in left field. But like we discussed earlier, now that we are, you know, coming up on 8 years after the fact, people are becoming aware of what actually happened that day. You know, the initial shock value of that psychological operation is wearing off. People are getting a chance to see what really went on behind the scenes. So I didn't really suffer much fallout at all. It was just, again, regardless of how many people might write in, and there's always going to be a few, you know, who will just personally attack you. I experienced the same thing when I spoke out against marijuana laws. You know, you have people saying that you're not a good role model, you know, that you're a proponent of drug use and everything else.
Yeah, but so you go to a football game and there's liquor ads everywhere, which
sure,
no doubt is bad for you. But then, you know, these guys with a whiskey bottle, how dare you be for that marijuana? I mean,
it's just, you know, again, it's people have blinders on with certain respect to the war on drugs, just like they do with 9/11. So I just wanted to, you know, like, again, you know, for people in my hometown who might know who I am or what I stand for, or, you know, at least they might know enough about me to know that I'm not just some guy spouting off, that I might be a guy who actually does have educated opinions, and it might be worth their while to follow up on what I said because they might learn something.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls for Mark Stepnosky. Mark, before we do that, in the last 15 or 16 minutes, any other points you wanted to add, anything else you wanted to point out?
Well, I would just like to tell people that they should make a personal commitment in their life to continue to educate themselves on these issues. You know, the easiest thing in the world is just to pigeonhole something and write it off, put a label on it, and say, I don't have to look into it any further. You know, they'll just categorize it as something they don't want to know, and then just move on. That's the easiest thing to do. And I say, intellectually, that's the lazy thing to do. I think people should take it upon themselves to have the initiative. If you're going to disprove something, if you're going to write it off, at least look into it and have an educated opinion about it. So I know there's a lot of nonsense out there regarding any topic, including 9/11.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
I would just, you know, tell people to look into anything they can, like some of the things I mentioned earlier, scholars from 9/11 Truth, any 9/11 Truth chapter. You know, cities all over North America have their own separate 9/11 truth factor. We have a great one here in Toronto, Vancouver, British Columbia, as well as Toronto and Ottawa across Canada, just like in the States.
I need to send you Truth Rising. We've got Canadian, U.S. 9/11 Truth, We Are Change, just exploding. That new film just came out. I know you've seen Terror Storm. What did you think of that film?
I thought it was outstanding. There are a lot of great movies out right now. There's a current one people can watch on YouTube called Shadow Play, which
yes,
is an excellent synopsis of, you know, the 9/11 false flag terror attack. It's a film that's coming out in segments, and they can watch those on YouTube. That's an excellent education for anybody who wants to kind of get a crash course on this subject.
Well, and remember, folks, the evil people that did this are still there, and I wish they were in a cave. That's a lot less scary than knowing they're in control of our government.
No question about it. I mean, we see now in a Dutch newspaper talk of an Iraq or an attack on Iran is imminent. I'm so glad to see that you're at the Democratic National Convention, because people seem to think that if we get a Democrat in office, there's going to be big changes. But the Democratic Congress has already signed off on a preemptive nuclear attack against Iran.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how anybody can expect anything to the contrary should Democrats be in power.
Yeah, and again, we're not bashing either party, folks. The point is that the corporates have taken over everything, and until we recognize that both parties have been taken over, we can never set about fixing the real problem if we're in that controlled paradigm. Five-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, Mark Stepnoski is our guest, former Dallas Cowboy, Houston Oiler. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim in New York, and then we'll go to Adam, Tim, Casey, Victor, and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Tim, in New York.
Hi, Alex and Mark. Give you a lot of credit for what you're doing. I'm involved in a situation here now where I'm experiencing my friend and girlfriend of 12 years is being soft-killed as we speak. She has a brother that's in the State Department. She gave him a copy of The Road to Tyranny in about 2002, and ever since then, her family's really been against us. She was an experimental guinea pig back in 1958 and had her thymus radiated. She's always had lifelong allergies and actually a victim of sexual abuse when she was a child as her mother brought foster kids into the house. On July of this year, she finally found out that she had a lot of thyroid problems and a lot of hormone deficiencies causing some memory problems. About a month later, her brother came home from where he works in the State Department, coerced her into going to lunch with her. She never came home. What he did is told her he was going to get her to a doctor. The next day, he put her into the psychiatric ward up at Strong Memorial. And since then,
sir, you need to put the names, the emails, the facts. I need to confirm this happened. I believe you, but I need to confirm it. That's big news. So let me stop you. So because she was a 9/11 truther, she's been stuck in a mental ward, and we're starting to see this happen like the old Soviet Union. I'm going to get your name and number off air, and then we'll have you on as a guest if I can see some documents and confirm this. But we have seen calls. It's in the new film Truth Rising. All the major cable channels saying, kill Alex Jones, put them in FEMA camps, they're terrorists, taser 9/11 truthers, send them to Gitmo, and they're serious. Mark Stepnoski, they're getting scared of us now.
Yeah, no question. You'll see it across the board. Whether it's Geraldo Rivera or Bill Maher or any of these guys who are in a position where they have a show on corporate media, and the only way they're going to continue to maintain their show is to spout the lies of the current administration, the corporate party line.
But they've been calling for violence against us is what blows me away.
Yeah, well, again, it's when I think Sinclair Lewis said, when fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross.
Yep, that's what Ron Paul said and got in trouble. He's not saying Christians are bad. He's saying evil people will use that.
Yeah, and I mean, if that's not what we're seeing right now, I don't know what we're seeing. Because, we are looking at, again, the corporate ownership of both political parties, wrapped in a flag, carrying a cross.
That's it.
Supposedly,
Adam,
in defense of religion and freedom, they are trying to ramrod a whole system of laws through that is to the detriment of everybody.
You got it, and has nothing to do with Christianity. Adam in Texas, you're on the air with Mark Stepnoski. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. It's great to talk to you. I watched you through your career and some of the finest football I've ever seen, and I was wondering if you caught Alex up there behind the MSNBC counter, I wonder if you've met anybody more tenacious and more wonderful than Alex Jones.
Oh, come on. Sounds like a setup call.
It's not.
Well, I did see the clip online where T. Boone Pickens was being interviewed on MSNBC the background.
That was Minneapolis 9/11 Truth. We took over for 3 hours at the DNC.
I think that's outstanding. I think, again, like we saw with Geraldo Rivera and like we saw with Bill Maher, there's going to have to continue, and the We Are Change people who do it everywhere, there has to continue to be a breakthrough into mainstream media of 9/11 truth. It's become obvious that we're not going to have a top-down solution to this problem. The censorship is coming from top-down.
It's got to be bottom-up.
Exactly. It's going to have to be grassroots, and that's the beauty of the 9/11 truth movement. It's a grassroots movement. People don't have to rely on anything else other than their fellow citizens who want to get to the bottom of this
and find
out the truth.
Well, exactly. I have to use the football analogy. What's it called? What's the terms, I'll tip my tongue, where the ball is moved by running, just a foot at a time, a long battle down the whole field?
Yes,
Yeah, like time of possession. Yeah, like like you're gonna ground up. You're gonna grind. Eat up the clock. Yeah,
ground war. Whatever.
It's possession.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what this is. And we've gone like 80 yards. We've got 20 more to go. We got a first down. We've had all these victories. I mean, folks, we're winning. We can win this thing.
Yeah, I think really people should, again, just concentrate on what they themselves can do. Don't feel powerless. Don't think like, you know, you have to accept these things even though you don't believe them. There is, every person has it in themselves to make a decision to do what is right.
Absolutely. Let's take another call. I'm going to skip this break, too. Just skip the music as well for the InfoWars.com listeners and stations that choose to carry it. I'm skipping the break. Let's go ahead and talk to who's up next. Tim in North Carolina. You're on the air with Mark Stepnoski.
Hey, guys. That's interesting you came up with a football analogy there, Alex. That's exactly what I was thinking about. Mark, did you play defense?
Played offense.
I played center.
Yeah.
Hello?
He played center. He was offensive lineman.
Offensive line. Well, what I was thinking was, if you're playing defense, and that's what the 9/11 thing's all about, we're defending ourselves against those guys. You're trying to fool your opponent. And what I've been doing is I've been taking your films and Burma's films and all of them and relabeling them, and you rail on the feds and all those guys' tactics all the time about how bad they are. But I've been using them against them, and I'll take your CDs or your DVDs, and I'll relabel them how the Democrats caused 9/11 and give them to Republicans, and then I'll relabel them and say how the Republicans caused 9/11, I give them to Democrats, and that makes them fight on it. And just like defense or an offense trying to make
you're using the false left paradigm against them. I'm not going to say you're bad, but in my experience, it's best to not be deceptive. I would just say this is a shocking film, very controversial. Ooh, you know, these are hard to get, which is true. Tell me what you think about it.
It's just so hard to get them to bite, though. When you do that, it's just so hard.
Well, then tell them it's Jessica Simpson naked. That'll...
yeah, I mean, that's going off the deep end on it. But
no, I'm being sarcastic, yeah.
You just have to get them to ask one question, just like you only have to get one safety out of line to score a touchdown.
Yeah, well,
it's just that little inroad, right?
Well, something I haven't done yet because it is deceptive, but I'm really thinking about doing it. You'll see something with 33 million views on YouTube, and it'll be a vitamin ad for 10 seconds with 20 seconds of a shot of some, you know, not even their breasts showing. And I'm thinking, wait, to get the truth out, I might as well do that. But, I mean, because anything to get the truth out, but it's a dangerous, slippery slope. That's kind of the mindset the military used to end up carrying out 9/11. Well, we lose troops as a pawn in war. Why not go ahead and sacrifice 3,000 Americans so we can defeat the evil Muslims, which another brand of government, you know, ended up funding. Mark, your comments on that.
That's a great point. You know, the some of the guys who are actually responsible for 9/11, like Richard Myers and Ralph Eberhardt and Montague Whitfield, these generals, you know, at the Pentagon, you know, these are the guys who escaped public scrutiny. You know, these are the guys behind the scenes who are running the war games, you know, along with Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. You know, the guys that have everything going on that day to make that drill become live and to have it go through and have the desired effect. That's what we are dealing with right now. Again, you know, I just urge everybody, you know, people get caught up in the Republican Democratic dialectic. You know, they don't remember that, you know, we have a one party system masquerading as two parties. So I think people need to continue to look past that. Don't get caught up in the partisan politics. Realize that what's going on affects all of us, regardless of how we're going to vote in any
Absolutely.
Given election.
Absolutely.
Just,
that's the key.
Just look beyond and see the big picture.
Absolutely. We're going to come back now and take a few final calls. Mark, we got to do this more often than just once every 8, 9, 10 months. It's just been great having you here, and I hope to sometime bump into you in person because I just really admire people with your type of courage. Here we go. It's an inside job, folks. Final segment with Mark Stepnoski.
It was an inside job.
Marker, do you have a personal website, or is there a site you want to plug or something you want to say here at the end?
Well, again, I would just, you know, for for those of us in Canada, I would just like again to bring up the march that the 9/11 Truth Society of Vancouver has orchestrated. It's already began. It's going to culminate in Ottawa on September 15th. I believe today they're in Sudbury and Toronto, Ontario. These 9/11 truthers have been traveling across the country to get petitions. They're going to march from Montreal to Ottawa and arrive on September 11th with all the signatures that they get nationwide on this petition, and this is for a new 9/11 investigation in Canada. Because what people forget is 9/11 was obviously portrayed as an attack against America, but it was a worldwide crime. There were citizens, I believe, from over 80 countries
and totally,
in the World Trade Center.
And it totally freaks out the global controllers when we're out marching, when we don't shut up, when we don't stop. They tell us we don't have power. We know that's a lie. An enemy will always tell you you don't have a chance to win, folks. That's psychological warfare. We don't just have a chance. We are going to win. We are never going to stop. A couple final calls. Victor in Canada. Speaking of Canada, you're on the air with Mark Stepnoski. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks, Mark, for everything you're doing, including plugging the March on Ottawa. I'm actually from Ottawa. I have a comment and a question. First, my question is, what advice do you have for closet celebrity truthers?
I would tell them just to, instead of having a fear of the unknown, just come forward and speak the truth. Speak from your heart. You know, be honest with people. Have facts to back up your point of view. And I really think that being the case, there's nothing for people to fear.
Hey, think about Charlie Sheen, and especially with his baggage. He was the first. Think about what he did.
People appreciate someone who's willing to come forward. I think as time goes on, people are realizing how sanitized and censored mainstream media is. And whether somebody is a 9/11 truther who tells the truth or a politician who's willing to give up the talking points and just, you know, speak truthfully, people appreciate that because it's so rare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what matters in this world is conviction and honor and duty and goodness. And Mark Stepnoski and many others have got it. And I just love to be part of this brotherhood, this sisterhood of man, of people that stand up and have courage. Real fast, Norman in North Carolina, you got about 30 seconds.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for keeping the truth sacred. I believe that if the truth can be told so as to be understood, that it will be believed, and that's what you do so well, Alex, and I'm proud. I'm a proud InfoWarrior working to wake up anyone with a pulse and an attention span, and it gives me a true sense of purpose and a real feeling of patriotism, and I intuit that we have critical mass, and given that the news report is laughable, it's just a matter of time before we have resolution.
Well,
so God bless you guys, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. Let me be clear here at the end. We reached critical mass years ago. In every major poll, the majority believe that there's a cover-up. A huge portion of that majority believe inside job. And those are in polls when they're calling somebody up. And folks usually don't answer controversially. We've reached critical mass. People just don't realize that the majority of us know the truth and we're scared. People like Mark Stepnoski stepping up to the plate, that lets people see the courage and lets them know that we're not alone. In fact, that we're the majority. And so now we've just got to take back control of our government. We are the majority. Mark Stepnoski, thank you so much for spending time with us. I want to say bye to you when the show ends here in about 30 seconds, but anything else you want to add?
Well, Alex, I just want to say it's been nice being with you. Thanks again for the opportunity to come on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Stay right there, my friend, for 20 seconds. I'm going to be right there at the end to talk to you for a second, say bye to you personally. Retransmission on the internet at InfoWars.com starts now. You got to go to those audio streams if you missed any of it for the AM and FM stations. Back this Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. and back on Monday. InfoWars.com.